Blog Talk Radio. everybody. How's it going? Hi, this is Psychic X Journey Man, your host. Here on Psychic X okay, let's do that one more time. Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. So welcome, and I see we have people in the queue, so we'll be getting to you very shortly. If not, right to you. I'm just going to give some information. Hello, everyone. Welcome. If you want to call in for a great reading, great insight, just give us a call at 646-721-9031. For a private reading, give us for a fantastic price. Give us a call at 740-500-8863. If you're a person who lives in the Colorado area, Colorado Springs, Manitou Springs, Denver, those kind of things, and you want to get a reading in person with me, then come to my shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. We have got some great rates and great prices, too, so therefore we have a special going on right now if you want to come to the shop, where if you get an angel card reading and a palm reading, it's only $30. Now, angel card readings are usually $30, and palm readings are $10. So that's actually a savings of $10, and if you bring a friend with you, theirs is only half price. If you're calling here on the show tonight, you can actually get a reading for $1 a minute, every reading I do. So just go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. See the prices. You'll see that what we normally charge are normal prices, but for you, you're going to get it for $1 a minute. So give us a call at 740-500-8863 for great insight and for a fantastic reading. I guarantee it'll be one of the best readings you ever had. So give us a call. I'd really be glad to help you out, that kind of thing, too. Okay, then we're going to sit here and take some readings and start talking to people and that kind of stuff, but basically, we're going to be focusing on relationships and that kind of stuff. We have a tendency to talk about Atlantis from time to time, too, and the idea of practicality. Does it really exist? Is it alive? Does it still exist? Is it still flourishing today? So it's one of those things you got to look at. Some things are true no matter if you believe them or not. They're just a certainty. So therefore, if you want to voice your opinion about that whole thing, too, please do so. I'd like to hear other people's insights on how they feel about the situation. But I feel like tonight's going to be one of those situations where we're going to be talking about relationships, and that's what we usually do anyway. So sit back and listen. And I always tell people, if you're in the queue for a while, you should listen to what's going on. You might actually get your answers to your questions without even talking to us on the air, and maybe you can actually get some answers and come on and ask other questions. So keep that in mind, too, as well. But if you want to keep what we were talking about before, I was trying to sit there. There we go. I was sitting here focusing on the idea of what we're focusing on. Does anybody know how to spell fantastic? I think I figured it out. But so make sure you get your questions ready when you come on so we can get right into it. We've had a couple situations where we've actually talked to people. And when we bring them on, either guys on mute, or they're just not listening. So keep your eye open. We'll be basically telling you the area code. So therefore, you know that we're actually talking to you. So let's get to it. Let's see. All right, let's go to our first caller, which is area code 505, and since we have two callers in the queue right now, 505, this is actually 505,
Hello?
The first number is 410. Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing fine. How about you?
Let's talk about you, because mine I'm still working on. But what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Jolene. I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
What's your name? Okay, say your name one more time.
Jolena.
Woo.
Jolita.
Sorry, it's just,
yeah.
My tongue's not working tonight. I have a shop here in town, so I'm constantly working with people and that kind of stuff, so it's been a crazy week. So how can we help you tonight?
The question of, maybe you can help me give some insights here of what would happen for tomorrow's court hearing in regards of my 11-year-old. Son custody. We have a joint custody right now, and we went for a court evaluation you know, with the psychologist 2 weeks ago. So tomorrow is the big day. Just wanted to know, you know, what would be the recommendation to the judge, you know, as far as, you know, should we continue joint custody, or I'm hoping to be full custody and hopefully not a big significant change as far as time sharing now.
So why do you feel like you should get full custody?
The child is not very, you know, he lives in a very unhealthy environment over there with his father. You know, they drink a lot, and him and his girlfriend, and it's just not much support with his day-to-day living over there, and they're just taking me to court almost every single time, you know, like six times a year, and the judge is already getting tired of it too as well. So I'm just like really hoping that, you know, this would end. I mean, I'd like to get full custody.
So you live in Albuquerque?
Yeah, New Mexico.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say Pennsylvania. I have no idea why. So where's your husband, or ex-husband, I'm sorry?
What is it?
Where is he at? Same state?
He lives in the same state here in Albuquerque.
Okay, well, when I first started talking to you and you were talking about the idea of the situation, the first thing that came to me was that you should have full custody because to favor the child, because there is a lot of negative influence, certain things that your husband has, or ex-husband, what's his name, so we have to call him?
His name is Douglas.
Douglas. See, the thing I feel like Douglas is, he's a person that has a bad influence because he's basically portraying the things that he's doing is normal. Okay? And when you look at the situation, he needs to understand that what he's doing, and especially in the excessive way of doing those things, is wrong. And the only way he would ever get that is with you. I get the impression that you will get full custody. It's just the ideal of stating it and stating it firmly. Because I feel like this is not a technical term, but it keeps coming to me as your husband or ex-husband is a little nutsy. A little daredevilish, too.
And his girlfriend.
Well, we got to look at the situation like this. Forget the girlfriend. The ideal, realistically, is a situation that she's just a reflection of him. So you take the child of full custody away from, well, the ideal of the situation with him, and you never have to worry about them again, realistically. Even the ideal of time and that kind of stuff, I still feel like that should be a little more structured, too, or, you know.
Yeah, I have the child 80% majority of the time, so I get about 20%. And he's thinking that he was going to get full custody. He's filing all kinds of allegations, motions after motions. And we finally got referred to court clinician last 2 weeks. And that's when all the party were interviewed.
And he feels like he should have full custody?
He thinks that he should have full custody.
Well, when you look at the situation, it seems like he's not being very practical at one point, but it also gets the impression it's based on money that he doesn't want to pay.
You know what? It's amazing you brought that. I mean, it's about money. In fact, he filed another motion about a week ago. He wanted to modify the child support and get tax exemptions on his end. So that hasn't been heard as of yet, but he filed a motion.
Wow, it seems like he's looking at his son as a tax deduction. I hope the courts can see this for what it is. It's about money. It has no, you really don't get no insights that he's actually considering the child in any kind of frame of mind, any kind of consideration of what the boy, you know, child, or what's good for him, whatever. It's just what is good for him. You know, you look at a person like this, too, and the idea of a person who drinks a lot, well, you see it's more of an addiction, where it's like the idea he's manipulating the system, manipulating people like a drug addict to get what he wants. So, therefore, he feels like if he extends and gives money away, it takes away from his recreational. He doesn't want to part with that. That's one thing I was looking at, too, is why it would be so important for you to get full custody because it would take things away from him that he needs to let go of anyway. And the idea of seeking out help for his problem. And the girlfriend, that's why I'm saying she's not a problem. She's just another thing he's attracted to his life because of what he does, who he is. Well, maybe I shouldn't say who he is. The idea of who he thinks he is, because the idea of a true sense of anybody, everybody's good. Everybody's got good. Everybody's got a core. Everybody's got a soul. It's just the out of extremities called the body has a tendency, based on its perception, or most people call ego. Okay, that's where the ego comes from your human side. And when this person is sitting here thinking he's doing the best for his child, but it's just a justification for what he really wants. You've seen drug addicts before, how sincere they can be. And you really feel for him. But at the same time, you know for a fact if you feed into it, you're just making the problem worse because you're enabling them to keep doing it. So something's come to light in the situation, and I feel like you really have this strong, actually, I feel like you got your child, you know, that's the center of your world. But you feel like, because I was starting to look at the situation, it should drop down to 20 to 10% of visitation.
Oh, really? Oh, you see it's going to drop down?
Well, actually, I feel like it should drop down. And the possibility, like I said before, the more you keep speaking your mind, the more you keep standing your ground on the whole thing, you will get what you will get that. I feel it very strongly. And I always tell people, don't look at the practicality of what the system says they can or cannot do. It's the idea of maintaining your focus on your perception of how you see things be. Because I tell people all the time, the reason I'm so passionate about that, it's not a theory. It's something I've lived and it's something I've seen. And I've also done readings for people who call me back and say, you said, like one guy in particular, thought he was going to lose his house. He said, they called me today and said they're going to foreclose on my house. And you told me I wouldn't lose my house. I said, I still feel the same. Okay, he calls me back 2 days later because the mortgage company came back and said they just acquired a new program where he didn't lose his house. So it's the ideal, as long as you maintain and focus on your perception of what you see and don't feed in anybody else's, because that's why I feel like your ex-husband is doing right now. He's trying to get everybody to see his side of the story. And the more you maintain your focus and stay on your ground, the more they're going to see the holes and realize it's just a story. There is no grounds for what he's saying. Wouldn't you agree? Are you okay?
And, you know, yeah, and faith, too, as well, as long as, you know, with me, it's the faith that I have with God. I know that this is the best interest for the child, and that's why I'm standing strong, even though it's really difficult, you know?
Oh, no, I understand completely. I like hearing people saying those things because it's amazing how I've talked to several people and even read things about metaphysics and spiritual life and that kind of stuff where they have a tendency to think they have to take God out of it, not realizing it's more of a co-creation. You focus on your perception of basically asking for what you want, which even says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. So therefore, when you ask and believe, you will receive it. So I feel like very strongly, but you can't take God out of the equation. You got to look at the situation. Because I like the one thing I heard the most was Dr. Wayne Dreyer was talking about, he was like looking at the questions he was being asked. And he would just lay them there, and it's almost like God was answering these questions, right? And one question was, why are there shootings in our schools? And he turned it over, and sure enough, there's an answer on there that said, don't you remember? You took me out of schools. So that's a good example of realizing one thing. If you take God out of the equation, then you're at the mercy of all those negative, or some people call the devil and demons. But I think it's more of the things like when you start feeding into those things, they can't hurt you, but once you believe in them, they can. So that's where your energy's at. So you focus on the positive, the outcome that you want, and you always get it. Now, maybe not always the way, you know, word for word you're going to get that, but you will. But it will always happen the way, well, you've heard that before. It's almost like God's trying to get you to have faith in yourself that you can manifest and create this in the way you want it to, because he's given you the ability to do so. It's called the power of manifestation.
That's right. Sure. Yeah.
So
do you feel a strong positive about tomorrow now, as far as, you know, best interest for the child?
Yes. Well, it's the one thing. See, you're believing in God, and it's like looking at a situation. And I say, you know, if you're going to go and you're going to believe in God, then you have to believe in miracles. And, I mean, look at the situation, right? What are miracles? They're things that defy reality as we know it, which changes our perception to realize, wow, let's do it again. And that's what I feel like here. It's like one of those do-it-again situations of looking at a person because I can see his face going, okay, what happened? How come I didn't get what I wanted? Well, realistically, with his negative attitude, he got exactly what's going to happen because he's not looking at it through his heart in a loving way. He's looking at it in a materialistic way of something he doesn't want to give up, the money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's the money. It's all about the money, really, you know, with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I do believe the more people pray for you, it's more effective, you know. Have friends
and
family.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, look at the idea of, I'm just trying to have people understand, when you pray, it's a positive energy. The more people you have praying with you, it intensifies the energy. So therefore, more positive energy, the more likelihood of a miracle happening here. And it seems like the people you have in your life, too, also have the strong belief that you do. So I can, you know. But I will definitely sit here and say one thing. When I sit here and talk to you about the whole thing, and you asked that first question, it just came very strongly. And I didn't really hear the question when you were talking about where you want to focus. So I just was listening to you when you said that you had joint custody, and it just kept on saying, at least twice to me, that you're going to get full custody.
Mm-hmm.
Have they done any kind of investigation on him?
He's actually on probation, and it's a big joke in the state of New Mexico. The probation officer is not really, you know, checking on him. Because he got drug tested, and he did actually admit that he drank and took marijuana that day. So they don't.
Oh, wow.
And the fact I know he's been drinking a lot. He's addiction. That's his addiction. And he's about to get off from his probation, and never got slapped in the hand. but when we went last 2 weeks ago, there was a text messages that took a picture and brought it to the court clinician. That he did admit that he's been drinking a lot. So I don't know how would that impact in their decision tomorrow as far as the recommendation that they're going to bring it up to the front of the judge.
I feel like it's going to work in your favor.
It's been very difficult for the child, and that's why I'm really hoping and praying that this would be kind of like towards the end of everything, you know. Once I get full custody, maybe they will back off a little bit, you know.
Right. Well, I can say to you is, I can tell you what I see. You know, what I see is the idea of just working in your favor. It's maintaining that vision too.
Yeah, will do. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your insight. No, stay positive, like you said. I've always been positive, you know. I tried.
Mm-hmm. All thing I have to say to you is the idea, if you ever want to do some private work, please contact me. I'd be glad to work with you. There's sometimes when the situation, even when you get past this aftermath, there's still things that you still have to maintain because I was actually divorced and we actually had joint custody where I actually wish that I would have gone the next step and actually got full custody. Because I had two daughters. Yeah, so it's like one of the situations where...
Wow. What state do you live?
I live in the state of Ohio. Well, at the time, I was living in Ohio. Now I live in Colorado.
I see. Well, that's good, though. You know, I mean, this is really all about, the child, you know. I'm here for his best interest. Nothing really personal for my own gain. I want him to grow up, you know, successfully and not mentally, you know, disturbed with all this situation that's been going on.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's 11.
Pretty sure I heard you tell me that once before, but for some reason it didn't stick with me. Well, I look
but
at this like
he's,
this, too.
He's very
he's
much affected,
old.
Though.
I'm just saying, 11 years old is actually, I mean, just the number 11 is really good. If you've ever actually done any kind of... research on the number 11 itself, it's actually a good manifestation number. If you see 1111 or 111, they always say make a wish. So you actually have a son who's 11, so that's something that's going to be with you too. It's just positive energy. I've always had great results with, like, I had an apartment with 308, which is 11, and things like that. So
That's his wish. That's his wish, you know. He was asked last week, where do you want to live? And he did said, I want to live with my mom, you know, he says.
Well, I'm just saying, take that visualization with you, and every time you see anything as this thing unfolds, as anything negative, just remember it's just something within yourself that you're having a little bit of doubt, and just see that visualization of his wish. That's a great visualization to keep yourself positive and straightforward on this whole thing, of keeping that vision in your mind. And then I just feel like when you have that kind of visualization, that kind of feeling with those things, it's one of the things you'll be living. But, you know, like I tell people, if you know, with the human side, yes, it's kind of, it's, we consider and say it's hard to do, but it's not impossible. It's just the idea of realizing the conditioning you've been through from the time you were born. That has a tendency to work against you, too, of people saying this, that, and the other, and people around you. I mean, I've worked with people before where they said, well, the lawyers say it's pretty much done and over with, and we've lost and the whole thing. But that's their perception. But they're also basing it on what they've been through. What they've gone through, they'll sit there and see a visual and say, well, last time this happened, it wasn't good. Well, see, those people are going to keep talking. It's almost like you got to tone them out and still maintain your vision of the success that you want to see. And since you both want it, your son and you, I can't see it going any other way. It just seemed like it was just too strong of a positive thing.
Yeah, my ex-mother-in-law actually went with us last week and testified. So this is his own mother on my side. So hopefully it's a big impact to, you know, for those psychologists, you know, making a really good decision on this.
I really got that part, yeah. I'm one of those people who tries to stay away from doctors and all kinds of situations like this just because they're so worldly about their perceptions. So I know I can override those. I've done it before. So I know you can do this situation too. I guess when I first got the first information, because you're saying basically you have so much going for you, but there's still something within yourself that feels like you don't deserve it. You really need to cancel that out any way you can, any kind of visualization, any kind of meditation, to get rid of that fear, because that fear could work against you.
Yes. Yep. It's a lot. There's a lot of things going on, you know. It's really hard for me.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, when you start getting those feelings, that's when you really embrace that vision of seeing your son make that wish. He wants to be with you. So you see that visualization with him, seeing you guys together, and also take that and let it resonate with you too, so you can also see it. And every time you have any kind of negative thing happens, you just go right back to that and say, no, this is what I see, this is what I believe, and this is what's going to happen, and be very firm about it. That's actually showing your strength. The more you show your strength, the more this thing is definitely going to go in your favor. So don't let all these freaking outside influences change that in any kind of frame of mind. Because I've been the same way, too. I tell people, I understand where you're coming from because I have a shop, and I know for a fact that what I focus on, what I put my intentions on, that's what's going to happen. And my success is based on those intentions, not anybody else. The outside world is basically going through their own impressions and their own perceptions of what they've gone through. And if they're in a negative way, they're still embracing those negative situations that happened in their past. So I know for a fact that when I release negative things from my past, it always makes my future or makes my present always more prosperous and always things going my way. But it's always that firmness, like taking a deep breath or taking 3 deep breaths and feeling it resonate within you, within yourself. My thing is when I get in those kind of states, sometimes I do a lot of chakra chanting, which if you only want to get a good book on chakra chanting, there's a book out there called Psychic Navigator by John Holland. And it basically all the R's little chants that you use for each one of your meditations you can do anywhere. But the one, my favorite one, because it's simple, is just to basically just sit down, you know, bow my head, close my eyes, and focus on the space behind my heart, which has been said that your God essence, your connection to God. And in the process of connection to God, it's also the connection to your soul. So what you're doing is you're reconnecting with yourself by saying, by bowing and doing that. And it's just saying to yourself, I am love, and allowing yourself to go deeper within yourself. What you're reconnecting with your complete self, what you'll realize you've never been separate from God. So therefore, once you connect with that, There's nothing you can't do. And it's like the idea of looking at God as your father. You're a parent, and you want the best for your son.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, looking at God as a father, he wants the best for you too. He's already giving you the best. Now it's just your job to embrace that and realizing any kind of intuition, psychic abilities, or anything that is you, that has been given to you as a gift to make your life here very successful. So you basically were, your birthright is to be successful, to be abundant and prosperous. It even says in the Bible, go out and be abundant and prosperous, which is kind of funny. But some people have a tendency to go, well, no, we're not worthy of anything. Well, how come God would keep telling us to go out there and be abundant and prosperous? And actually, the biggest commandment, the most powerful commandment, is the love, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when you look at it, I always tell people like this. This is, you can take this what you want to, but I said, Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, the reason Jesus said it the way he did, because he was already enlightened. He's already a spiritual being. Okay, he's God's son, so he can say that. But when you look at it from our point of view, we have to love ourselves before we can love that neighbor. You can never take yourself out of it. You have to realize that. You have to embrace that. But also embrace your true essence. When I say focus on self, I'm saying the soul, the spirit, not the ego, not the human self. Look at your human self as basically a car, and it's your transportation from A to B. But the spirit, the soul, is in the driver's seat. And if you want to, the people who sit in the front seat are the ones who usually govern the car in itself. So therefore, you can also use a visualization and say, okay, me and God are in the front seat. We're driving, and the ego gets kicked to the back seat and is not allowed to speak unless he's actually supporting what we've already decided to do. Okay? So that's what happens in these situations like this. Negative things start happening, and the ego starts kicking in and going, remember what happened last time? You failed. So you can tell the difference between spirit and God. You can tell the difference between that and ego, because ego always feeds into your fears. But God, your angels, your essence, and that connection always focuses on you that can do anything. Also focus on your strength and your power, not the lack of. I guess that's why I have a tough time with a lot of Christians, because they're always telling everybody the worst. I've even been told that we don't know what true love is because it doesn't exist on the planet. I say, no, that's false, because, I mean, when Jesus was even asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment of the Ten Commandments, and he came back and said, none of them really are unless you love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's love. Love will attract anything and everything into your life as long as you actually have that within yourself. And once you have that love for yourself, you'll start realizing that you love God because you love yourself. And because you love yourself, you also love God. So every time you love anyone and yourself, you're actually obeying God and actually honoring God, because that's what he is. He's a true, loving, spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people have a hard time when I say, you are God. But even the Bible says the same thing. When you say, I am, that's acknowledging God. And he's also God has enabled you to do everything he does. You're made in the image of God. And the reason I always emphasize on that, because that's how manifestation works. We can create things just like God did when he created the universe and the earth. Okay, so therefore, taking it that way, I mean, think about this too. We also create life, maybe in a different way, but we still create life, and that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
True.
Okay, so therefore, right. You just look at this, yeah, as you created your child, you also create everything in your life, because God has given you that ability. That's why we always call it co-creation, because he's given you the abilities. Okay, all you have to do is say, okay, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I desire. And he says, you always get it, as long as you believe. So you both have to work together to make this happen. And that's what you're doing here. So just look at the situation, and I've told people that too, you are God, and they go, oh, no. Yes, yes, yes. Just because you don't want to take the responsibility of that, it's probably giving you insights why your life is not the way you want it to be. But I guarantee you, when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you accept yourself for who you are, you can't see it any other way. Because once you see it in yourself, you'll see it in everybody else. Even looking at your ex-husband and going, he's a very loving being. There's just certain things he's chosen to do that tarnishes that. Then right now, since he's tarnished himself like that, and he's not in a good way, he's not good for himself, so he can't be good for anybody else, especially a child. Okay? That's his decision, and that's the consequences of his actions. And he needs to live it, or he's never going to change. And you have the ability and the position to do that right now. So I'm just saying, stay firm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
No, oh, no problem. You're welcome.
I'll continue to listen. If you could put me on hold, you know, that way I don't get disconnected.
Oh.
I don't know if you have that capability here.
Yes, I do have that capability, and I will do that for you right now. All
right.
All right. Nice
thanks.
Talking to you. Have a great night.
You do the same. Thank you.
All right. Me too. Thank you. Okay, guys, I was going to say, if you want to get a private reading, please do so. All you got to do is call 740-500-8863 and get a fantastic reading. I guarantee it'll be one of the best readings you ever had. And if you want to get that reading, like I said, call 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. If you want to get a reading in person, I actually have a shop in Manitou Springs, Colorado at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue, right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle t-shirt shop. All right? If anybody else wants that information, again, just tell me so, because I'm trying to keep back and forth here. I do have the chat room open, but sometimes it's kind of hard to jump back and forth to that chat room. So, therefore, we have no problem repeating anything. Just let us know, and we'll definitely get that out to you. We're going to go to our next caller as soon as I get this. This is driving me crazy. What the? Sometimes I want to scream. I hate to say that, but like you're trying to pace and cut something, it goes, okay, what? It wants to play that jumping game. So everybody in the chat room, hello, how are you? Do you have any questions in the chat room? We do take a couple of questions, but we'd rather for you to call in at 646-721-9031. And we'll definitely get you unanswered questions, because when we do readings, we don't do readings like other shows, okay? We don't answer a couple questions. We don't do mini readings. We do readings. I mean, how are you going to sit there and figure out and assess the situation? Is he a good psychic or not? If you don't get that full impact, that's what we're going to do. All right. Let's go on to our next caller. This is also area code 505.
Hi.
And you're on the air, so therefore, what's your name and where you're from? If you're not sure if we're talking to you, the next three numbers in your phone number is 867. 505.
Hi,
oh, there you go. How
are
you doing?
Hi.
Trisha,
I'm here in the Southwest also, so thank you for taking my call. I was kind of teeter-tottering on what to ask, because one of them is kind of a negative question, but one of them is positive.
Okay.
The thing that's
Let's
pressing in my mind. Okay. Well, since my whole life has changed spiritually and I've made a lot of changes in my life, I've eliminated some people from my life, and I've pretty much stayed away from my family. Because of the negativity, yeah, and I have a sister that has created a lot of conflict ever since I can ever remember, since I was young, and I have a big, big family, and I don't know if you want her name or not. Her first name starts with an R, and I'd like to find out, you know, what kind of justice is coming, because she's created a lot of problems for pretty much the whole family. And now that my father's getting elderly, she's trying to clutch, you know, the inheritance. And it's hard for me because I was made the administrator, and, you know, she tries to throw her weight around. And I'd like to find out what type of justice is coming. You know, if spirit on the other side is looking into this, and if there's going to be a stop to this behavior.
Well, it's like this. You don't get the impression of any stop to the behavior, just more consequences because of the behavior. Okay, when you look at the situation, the first word that came to me was rodent. Okay, she's a person. you know how rodents are. They're basically wanting everything. At the same time, they hide in the shadows.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, and also the situation, you're like I guess you would say executor, right?
Well, yes, I'm thinking about even just backing down and backing off because of all the stress. I'm tired of the negative phone calls and, you know, the mm-hmm. pushing around and so on and so forth. I'm trying to be
well,
fair.
What it's saying, focus on what you got to do. Anybody who interferes with it, remove them. Don't sit there and do anything. It's the ideal that whatever she's entitled to, she doesn't have to be there to get it. You know, I don't think you're a person that will take anything away from anybody because of their bad behavior. You're just kind of, you're just tired of dealing with it. So this is what I got. It's almost like you're in a courtroom and she comes in yelling and you have her removed. Like you're the judge and you're like, okay, I'm not going to deal with your behavior since you want to act this way. You're out of this. You will get what you deserve, but you're not a part of it. And you have to, that is because of your behavior, not mine. My behavior is because you won't behave yourself and you act like a spoiled brat. That's exactly the vision I got with her, of a person who's throwing their weight around. Is she older than you?
Yeah, she is.
Yes, and she feels like she's entitled. And realistically, she's not, because you're the one that's in charge. It doesn't matter about anything else that goes along with the whole thing. As I've always said, people, age means, pardon the word, shit.
Yeah.
Age has nothing to do with, especially in this day of age. You know, people back in the day, you know, when you were 24, you acted a certain way. When you were 40, certain things happened. When you were 60s, you were dead. So, you know, when you look at the situation over time now, those definitions do not even fit into the society anymore. It's amazing how people use them as excuses, and they have the tendency to use things and say, well, I am entitled to it. And I always say, entitled to what? I have a friend of mine who has a tendency to say certain things. She's a little controlling. And when you sit there and say things, she tells you not to say those things. That's pretty strong. And I have a tendency to do like I tell everybody else. You have a backbone. You have a foundation. You look at that person in the face and say, this is the way it works. I'm only saying what I see. And I mm-hmm. see what I say. So that's what you're presenting to me right now. So therefore, don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what to do. I'm expressing myself from what you're presenting to me right now. And the idea, because I called her flaky and flighty. And she was like, I don't like it when you do that. It might be true, but don't tell people that. I'm sorry. Why? Because you're scared that that puts them in little bits and pieces that makes them understand that's what she's all about. And that's what it's all about. It's almost like she's portraying a certain image. And anything else that I give to it, as me being honest, pretty much clarifies that. And I think she wants to still keep it up in the air so people don't know, not realizing she has to face that fear. Why does she think she has to control everything, which means she doesn't have control over her life? So if you look at your sister and what she's really doing, she's not trying to control you or anything else. She just feels like she has to control because her own life is so freaking out of control.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. She's
so
very controlling.
So I'm just saying, when you put her in her place and have her removed from any situation or even the ideal, don't answer her phone calls because you don't have to. You are a person who's very responsible, so you think somewhere along the line, I have to answer the calls to give her some acknowledgement, which really just makes things worse. Just gives her the power and almost like a justification. See, it's working, so she's going to keep going. Once you start ignoring her completely and start focusing, it's not even ignoring, it's the idea of focusing on the task at hand needs your full attention. And it's almost like she's hoping that you mess up so she gets more, which is kind of weird. But...
Oh yeah, she's
she
very. She's very manipulative and very. What do you call it? You know, wants for herself, selfish, very selfish person.
So she's very selfish, self-centered, and egotistic.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the situation, it just shows you that she doesn't feel like she's worthy, so she thinks she has to take everything.
Yeah.
And. I'm just saying that's what it says, but since she doesn't want to, you know, face that insecurity or that whole thing, which is why her life is so out of control. It's like a spiral, and the reason it is because she's created that way, and she doesn't want to admit
right.
it. She wants to sit and blame everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. My life sucks. Really? When do we start making decisions for you?
Right. Oh, yeah, she blames my mother, my father. She blames everybody, even her own kids. I mean, yeah.
I want to look at the lady
here.
You know something? You're an adult who acts like a five-year-old child, and you need to snap out of it or nothing's ever going to change, and it's up to you. No one's to blame for your life, especially since you're an adult now. I mean, when we look at the idea of when we're younger and underage, we can actually look at our parents and say, okay, their perception of what has actually created anything in our lives, chaotic, even good. But after we turn 18 and it's our life, it's our responsibility. So if you choose to hang on to those things, who's full of it? She is.
Well, she lives sometimes in the past. She still brings up things from like 40 years ago. I mean.
Well, sweetie, it's like this too. She doesn't just bring up things from the past in this lifetime. She's still carrying baggage from at least 4 lifetimes.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so
oh,
it's like looking at a life. It's like looking at your soul group, which is your family and situation, of all the chaos, okay? So, you know, I'm not trying to be anything towards you, but you got to look at the ideal and take one thing of responsibility and say, yes, I'm a part of this soul group who I choose not to be anymore, because the reason we're still a soul group is because of all this drama. And you've already made a decision to walk away from it, so continue to let go of it and continue to clear the clutter out of the situation. You might find out you might not have anybody around you, as in family and people that you thought were friends. But I guarantee you, once you clear this clutter and get past this episode in your life, you're going to have a whole lot better friends. And even the point of, I think if I read your palm, you probably have 2 lines where your thumb is, which means you have a tendency to make some of your friends family because of the lack of family you have. And that's what you can. It's what you need to continue to do so.
Yes.
So if you look at your thumb and you actually see... I'm sorry. If you have 2 lines on your thumb, which is between, like, you have your thumb is in 3 sections, really, realistically, 3 sections. You have the tip, the middle, and the mound, which is actually the mound of Venus. That's where your romantic relationships and your family relationships are. Now, the ones that go straight down from your thumb across your palm, those are your family. And then the ones that come down, that go, along your pointy finger, those are your romantic relationships. So what you do is you go up. The one that actually separates your Venus, Mount of Venus, from the middle part, that line is your family line. And then you'll have another line next to it, which is basically a person who has very strong family skills who actually creates families with other people. So you have like 4 or 5 people that you're really close to that you consider family, and then you have lots of friends. But some of those friends you don't let in because you don't trust them. That makes sense?
Yeah, I'm pretty much solitary right now. I had to eliminate about 3 people from my life because they were very negative. And so I live alone. But and I don't associate with my family at all. But I see my father because he's elderly and he's my father. And then I visit one sister that I helped once in a great while. But I have to remove myself because the complaining all the time, criticisms, complaining, and that's not good for me. That's not good for me at all.
No, I understand where you're coming from because I've I live in Colorado. My family lives in Ohio. And it seems like ever since I moved away from Ohio and came here, I lived here before. And I had so much success here and so much things that happened in a very positive way. I felt like this is the only place I've ever been, realistically, I've had that kind of success. So I definitely wanted to come back here, but I also noticed that when I separated myself from my family, it helped me understand that the whole time I'm in Ohio, people are trying to tell me how to live my life instead of really giving me a chance to live my life. So I came out here, and then I started thinking about it. I moved to Manitou Springs, which is about 5 miles from Colorado Springs, at the base of Pikes Peak. And what's kind of funny that some days I actually look at this place and go, people ask me, where are you from? Oh, this is my hometown. So it's one of those things that past lives can be very positive or they'd be negative. But they're definitely teaching you something. And this has been proven, too, that in some ways our past lives are actually connected to our DNA. So when we experience situations like this, this is where we start getting flashes, or maybe we might watch a lot of Westerns, or we might watch a lot of Roman movies, or we're just very fascinated with history. What is actually happening is past lives are coming to the surface because of the situation you're going through that you probably experienced, and now you have a chance to do it different. And a lot of people have a hard time with that, too, because of family. Family's the hardest one. There's actually a book out there called The 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. I think it's chapter 9 or chapter 6, where it talks about how they have a tendency to use family and friends as an excuse not to commit to a relationship, which is basically the core is they've never had a chance to actually live their own lives and connect with themselves. So it's a pattern they keep repeating. So it's also a past life. And when you look at her going through her past life experiences, not snapping out of it and say, okay, that was then, this is now. So therefore, I would sit here and say she's a very, it's almost like your family in the past, in a couple of past lives, were actually very wealthy. And the kids were treated as such, except for you. And the reason you were treated differently because it seems like there's always been a spiritual sense to you that you walk away from the practicality of materiality and the world itself. You've always had something that resonated with you that you're more than that body. And you've always been striving for that, which most people who do are actually cast out as or classified as the black sheep of the family. When we're just not willing to go along with the pattern that's been going on for so long, it doesn't work. They just won't let go of that. Hey, we're family and there's nothing else we can do about it. And you're a person that says, oh yeah, you can. So this is like the ideal. Keep focusing on that because each past life you've had has brought you to this point where you started, at a very young age or a young lifetime where you just sit there and say, okay, this is what it is. It can be traced back to Egypt of looking at a girl who was part of a very wealthy family, but you were also a high priestess. But then it was looked upon as something more honorable. Now in the other past lives, it's looked at as being, well, this is weird. But it was also them not looking at the reflection that you're casting that they need to work on their own spirituality. So they're going to try to knock you down and all kinds of things to denounce the whole freaking thing. It's kind of crazy how people don't realize that the human body was something that came after the spirit was created. It was something we actually created. And it's amazing how people will want to change their lives, but at the same time they would defend it. Why do I have to hang on to it? Oh, I have the answers for you. Oh, I know, but still I have to hang on to this life because this is all I know. You've heard it, but I mean it's like the government or the legal part of our country. It's amazing how they sit and go, this is all we have, which is just a justification for their actions while they rip people off. And they don't sit there and look at the idea of justice anymore. It's more about who's right and who's wrong. So the government has become a big, bad relationship based on worldly concepts. Because realistically, true relationships, most people don't argue and fight because it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about what's right, as in what's the truth. And that's why you sit there and see people who are just fantastically in love with each other because that's the first thing they put forward. They take each other to the point of true self, okay? And it's like, I was sitting there the other day, I asked a girl that, what is true love? And she just like, I don't know. I said, true love is you. You are love. And the ideal of what it's all about, it's not the ideal of finding someone who's compatible with you. It's the idea of finding somebody who's got compatibility so you can actually get to know each other, to let down those walls, to let down your guard, so you're able to share of you. You are true love. So therefore, it enables you. That's why it's so important to be, like I was telling the last lady, it's so important to love oneself because you can't love another. And when you love yourself truly, unconditionally, you attract another person who will do the same, and it makes it easier for the two to actually love each other because they already do it. So it becomes a natural thing to do when you meet somebody else. All these things out here, therapy's gotten out of control where it's like they're all focusing on too much compatibility. For example, if you put money before service, nothing follows. But if you put service before money, money always follows. It's the same thing with relationships, just in different concepts, Because you're not buying each other with physical money. But money, in the true sense, it's like I told someone the other day, what is money in sex in the true sense, in its true form? It's a physical manifestation of giving and receiving. And when they're done right, there's always a positive outcome. When they're done wrong, it's like somebody being rich and using their money to control people. When realistically, if they were actually focusing on the true self, everybody would just follow them because they trust them. So that's what I'm saying here with the situation. Trust is everything. But see, the point is you trust yourself unconditionally, so you know who to trust and who not to. It's just the idea of taking it one step further. I've done that too, where people look at you and you're like, wow, when you're done with somebody, you're done with somebody. I said, yeah, but that's not, my actions are not bad. I'm just following suit because of what they're putting out there. So since it doesn't no longer go along with my life. In the process, I promised myself no more drama and just happiness, love, and that kind of things. And whoever works against that has to go, no matter what.
Yeah.
You can give people chances. I feel like if you really stay, I'm just saying, if you stay really true to the situation and your agenda, and you know exactly what you need to do, you just need to keep following through with it. Okay, no matter what's presented to you. It's almost like walking through life, especially when it comes to your family, where you have blinders on. You don't need to see them because you already know them. But you have an agenda, you have a focus, and that's what you need to be really focused on right now. Because I don't see these people changing anytime soon. If you wait for anybody in this family to change, you'll be in a nursing home waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm totally done. I am so done with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like me. I'm not like them. And I'm moving forward.
Do you feel like you're adopted?
I just feel like I was I don't feel like I'm a part of them. I feel like I was born into them just to be on this earth, but not to be with them.
Well, they're actually good motivators in the situation because they're negative. Because it's kind of crazy when you see these things. Like it's almost like I've seen it with me too, where you have the most negative person I know. They'll just walk up to me and say the most positive things, and I go, ooh, they never do that. So I have to really take that, what they just said, as a message from my angels, that somehow I was missing it. So they came and gave me the message to a negative person, so I would definitely pay attention to it because it was really out of character for them. So when you look at your situation, your family, they just reinforce the positive that you know you came here to do.
Yeah,
everybody's
absolutely.
In your life for a reason. There's no such thing as anything happening by chance. Everything happens for a reason. And if you haven't found the reason, it just means you haven't found the reason. It's still there. And it's still something you need to keep learning with yourself. Sometimes I know for a fact you get impatient because you want the answer now, not realizing it's going to be one of those things. It's a process. Maybe I might have to go through a couple family members. Because, I mean, since I moved here and I'm actually separate from them, I can see a lot of things. And they taught me how to be very plain spoken, too. That my mom looked at me one day. She goes, "You don't think I love you, do you?" I said, "No, I don't. Because you never have embraced anything that I've ever wanted to do. You've always told me how wrong I was. You've always told me I was going in the wrong direction." I mean, one day I was actually sitting in my shop and she called me. And I was sitting there talking to her. And also a client walked. Somebody walked in and said, "How much are palm readings?" And I could just hear the disgust in her voice when she went, I said, "She's never going to change. But neither am I." That's what I'm saying. They reinforce who you are. By them acting the way they are, because realistically, you look at them and the negative way they're doing, they're not really embracing their true selves. Because no one was ever meant to be negative. No one was ever meant to be evil. No one's ever meant to do the things they've done to you. So therefore, they're definitely not honoring themselves. There's no way they could be any kind of honoring or any acknowledgement that they actually exist and they are connected to God. Because if they was, they'd be truly loving beings. And they're not. So when you look at them, you go, "Wow, I love this reflection because it reflects back to me that I'm in a good place in my life." And that's what you need to do, constantly to keep reminding yourself to keep going forward. They can actually be very good motivators, but not even speaking a word just because of what they're embracing right now, as in being so opposite. It actually reaffirms you're definitely in a good place. Because my thing is like with Christians and my family and that kind of stuff. I don't know if I want to say so-called Christians because I want to bash Christians, but there are some people that are very sincere. But it's kind of amazing how they always see the worst in you. And from what I've been taught with reflections, everybody reflects back at you about yourself. And if all they can see is the negative in me, then they see themselves, and they're coming from a negative place. And they go, "How come you don't take me seriously?" "Oh, I do. I see you for exactly who you are. But the thing is, you don't. And you're trying to change me. and knock me down to your level so you won't have to keep looking at the positive all the time, because it really nags at you that you know you need to change. So what they do is, like, relationships, husbands mostly, even some women, they like to knock people down to their level instead of realizing what they need to do is strive to get to your level. So it means you're at a good place. And it always will be. So, you know, you keep, because I can hear it in your voice. It's like anything that doesn't work out, you're going to find a solution to understand why and to change accordingly. But really, see, the changes are more of realizations about yourself that have always been there. You just let go of another negative thought or something that you were taught when you were younger, that you're continually letting go of these negative issues. So they come off at first like negative, you know, like you're like, okay. But realistically, you're letting go of a block. Picture this. Every time you move, let's say you're looking for gold. Every time you move a piece of rock, you know you're getting closer to the gold. That's what the whole thing of letting go of negative issues and stuff you've been taught as younger. They're going to come to the surface when you're older. And the more spiritual concepts and the spiritual teachings you go through, the more they're going to come to the surface. But the positives, they start getting less and less. Where you can get to a point where you start seeing things what they are. Because there's definitely a difference between being judgmental and stating a fact, the truth. And you can hear it in your voice, too. You're all about the truth. Just don't be surprised about some of the blocks you still have to remove to see that truth sometimes, even within yourself. It's like, you ever heard people say that they will say something or yell at their kids, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, I just became my mother? That was something you were taught about your mother. Okay, and so instead of seeing the situation for what it was at that moment, you actually picked up on a memory that your mom or father had taught you instead of actually trusting your true self. So what you do is you stop for a moment, you resonate with that and go, okay, I don't like that. That doesn't resonate with me. But I guarantee you, under the surface of that is you. And what you do, one comes to the surface, and then you allow. And I was like, I told that one, what about the meditation where you focus on the essence behind your heart, your true God's essence, and start just keep saying to yourself, I am love, I am love. You can get underneath the surface to get past that one little fracture that came to the surface, and you'll see that it's just more bits and pieces of getting back to that true soul, to your true spirit. It's your true self, the essence. Yeah. So, because seriously, I've done this, and I've been doing this for years, and someone told me about this meditation, so I said, okay, no big deal, I can do this for 20 minutes. I couldn't do it for 5 minutes the first time, because it was just so phenomenal to tap into something that's really pure, that really does exist, to the point where when people come to me and say, true love on this planet doesn't exist, I said, really? Then you're definitely not connected to your true self, because you would know that it does. So try that sometime. Just sit down there and just bow your head, focus, and every time you say, I am love, allow yourself to go deeper and deeper within yourself. See how close you can get to that core. Because I almost can guarantee it will take more than that first session. Because it took me a while. It's like a week just to get to 5 minutes. Going back, it's just intense.
Yeah. Okay. So,
can I
guess.
Answer a question?
Yes. So, the whole situation is for me to focus, and I'm just hoping that there's going to be a positive outcome. Because I'm just a very sensitive person.
I'm just saying, also,
and
you
I can't
get to a point,
too.
I know, but I'm just saying what you need to do is, like, in the Bible it says the idea of love your neighbor, love your enemies as much as you love your neighbor, love your friends, love yourself too as much. So it's like when I started doing the meditation, I could really see people for why they do what they do, and I even see the core who they really are. So it was easier to forgive them, to realize that somewhere along the line, they just haven't let go of what they were taught when they were younger, or maybe even holding on to past lives, not realizing they don't need really to hang on to anything.
Yeah.
So try to get to the point where you can like actually look at them. Because the one thing I've noticed that when you look at people like that and say, I love you, it freaks them out, but it makes you feel good because you feel like you've accomplished something just with those three words.
Yeah.
But you have. Because you're sitting there going, I believe in God so much that I'm going to honor God by saying I love you because you are lovable. Just because you hate yourself and you want to sit there and treat people like this, you're still worthy of it. And hopefully one day you'll realize that. That's what it's all about.
Well, I'm just hoping that I don't have to come back, you know, that she is not going to ever be in my life again, even in future lives. I never want to experience another individual like her again, because there's been so much jealousy and hatred and, you know.
Well, until she changes her ways, the only thing you can do is to keep her out of your life. Because one thing I think that we have problems with family is because they're family. And for some reason, we feel like we have to keep them in our lives. You know, you can still honor your mother and father, but still distance yourself from them because of their actions. You can still honor them and say, okay, these are my parents. They brought me into the world. Thank you. That's honoring, okay? But at the same time, you're not honoring their actions by saying, okay, if they're going to treat you in a certain way, because I've had this with soulmates too. People go, well, this person is my soulmate, so I have to take it, right? Says who? It means what's happening is you guys have come into this life, your family, relationships like that. You have come into this lifetime to be a loving being, okay? They're not getting it. So therefore, what you're honoring, they're not. They see the same thing as you see. They're going to question it. They're not going to honor it, but you are. So see, you are accomplishing a lot of good things. And when you distance yourself from somebody, you're just saying, this is just too much for me. I've loved this person, and they still continue to hang on to old habits, and I continue to go forward. So take a look at the situation of people you said that you actually X'd out of your life and realize that maybe you didn't X them out of your life. It's just the universe working through you to actually bring people in your life and to take people out of your life that are no longer good for you because you're getting better and better for yourself. So you realize you're bringing people in your life that you want to share your life with, not people you think you have to because of respect and honorability, because realistically, if those people are not doing the same thing for you, that's the truth. And you have to sit there and be truthful to yourself that you're not going to put yourself in the association with people who are not respecting themselves, because that's how it starts. People who start disrespecting you and treat you the way they do, it started with them a long time ago. That's why they're lying and disrespectful and that kind of stuff, because they basically have not done one thing in their lives that they really wanted to, which means they're not listening to spirit, they're not listening to angels, they're not listening to guidance, and they're angry with themselves. Yeah. But instead of that's why she blames everybody else, because she just hasn't come to that point yet where she wants to take that accountability 100%, that her life is the way she created it. And in some ways, I feel like she's jealous of you because you're also creating your life just the way you want it to. Huh? It just doesn't reflect as in a negative way like hers does. She doesn't understand that, but then again, she doesn't understand herself either. She doesn't give herself a chance. And even though she has the perfect example right in front of her, you, she's not getting it. She's not reading it right. She thinks you're the problem when actually you're the solution. Your whole family thinks they are the answer, but they're actually not.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think about them anymore. I don't even like to. You know, I'm just stuck in this situation, but once it's over, it's over. It's buried under the ocean. You know,
I'm just saying, get it done as soon as possible and get it behind you so you can actually go on and take what you
want. My whole life is a clean slate right now because the people that I had to remove, it's like I feel like I'm waiting for new people to come in, especially a new relationship. A better man, too, and I just feel that's coming in too. Hopefully.
When's your birthday?
1/24.
January 24th, 1963. See, January 24th when's your Aquarius?
Yeah, Virgo rising.
The Capricorn. Well, the Capricorn works for you too because that gives you two Earths, which gives you a good foundation. I mean, I think it's good because I'm a Taurus, but it's kind of funny too. I'm a Taurus and Virgo. I got Virgo moon and a Capricorn rising, so I'm triplet. And it's one of those things that's always been made things more concrete. But at the same time, I can also see when things are not working out right. I've actually been taught that if nothing's working in your life where you want it to, it's because of some kind of intention within yourself that you don't feel like you're worthy. So you got to go back and take care of the whole thing. Plus, I had a drowning accident when I was 10. It's amazing how many times I've gone back to that drowning accident seen things I need to let go of them, and then my present life has a tendency to get more prosperous. So learn from the things that have happened, too. It's like, let's say you cross your sister's path one more time and something just comes to your mind. Say that you start getting flashbacks of, being in Egypt. That means you both were there, and she's actually bringing something to the surface. Not just to help you, but also hopefully she sees something, too, because you almost get the impression that's where it all started, with jealousy. Basically, lived your life. It just seemed like you've always lived your life the way you wanted to. Even the idea of seeing some things where you didn't, still correcting those things, but still having jealous people around you. And now it seems like in some ways your whole family is kind of jealous of you. They won't admit it.
Yeah, I kind of felt that. But
sometimes it's kind of hard to do, especially with family, to sit and go, okay, this is the way it is. If it was a friend who was jealous, you'd have no problem telling them off. But sometimes family has a tendency we give them too many excuses. And then you finally just got to come to the point going, I sit and tell my mom one time, and she came to my house, and I had a girl live with me, and she was like, I don't approve of this. I said, well, I'm sorry, but if you don't approve of this, then you can leave. And it's one of the things that you got to stay firm to yourself, okay? And I'm sure she came into the thing thinking, I'm the adult, and I'm trying to teach you something. But she didn't realize at that moment we were both adults. So there has to be mutual respect. You're no longer my parent. I don't need parenting. You're still my mother. Don't get me wrong, but she has to respect my home as much as I respect hers. Even when I lived with her for a period of time because of some craziness was going on, I sit down. It's kind of funny. Your child, me, had to come to the conclusion of telling her, we're both adults, and we need to come to an adult conclusion here. So we can both, have a win-win situation. I know I'm living with you, but still, you have no right to be a dictator. Just because you have property and you have a position, so do I. So I told her, I said, I think it's going to work a whole lot better if we come to a mutual agreement. It took a while, but it was one of those things. So even looking at your mother and going, I understand you don't approve of what I do, but I have no intention to stop doing it, and you probably have no intention of improving it. But there has to be mutual ground. And my friend was like, God, I wish I could talk to my parents like that. You can. You just got to realize you've got a backbone. And if you're a person who's been sitting there with back problems, your back problems might actually go away if you start confronting people when you need to. Because your back is your support. And when you have a lack of support within yourself, it has a tendency to reflect with some kind of physical ailment, which can be traced back to emotional situation or emotions you're not either expressing or you're not honoring, or both. So, when you look at those situations, I've done that because I've actually noticed there are certain people they have a tendency not to support me, and then my back will hurt, which gives me a sign that since they're not being very supportive in the situation, you have to classify them. What are they really? Can they really be classified as friends or somebody close to me when they are not really living up that role? So honestly, has to start with you first and go, okay, I have to be honest with myself. This person's just not doing it for me. And I don't have to keep my life. Sure, there is a part of us that wants to help people. But until, everything that anybody does in this world is usually a reflection from somebody else who came into their life to show them that example. So you're the example. You just got a lot of people who don't want to sit and read that. But, the thing I wanted to say, I didn't mean to get sidetracked, but the one thing I keep picking up on the whole thing is the same thing I just went through, too. When I moved into a different place. I've been here before, and I was very surprised when I came back of how many people actually remembered me. And now things are getting to the point where you're going to start feeling like a new kind of base of a home and realize that maybe you're actually attracting people in your life that are actually your true friends and your true family. And the family that you had, since they didn't want to honor that position, none of us were ever destined to be alone, and we never are. So I just want to sit here and ask you, have you gotten fully connected with your guides and your angels and your guardian angels? Because if you haven't, keep working on that. So if you only acknowledge three guides, you have five. You have five guides. You have three guardian angels. And I get the impression three archangels with you.
Wow. Well, I do. I call them in every night, you know, to stay with me and sleep with me and everything. And I talk to spirit every day, like almost every minute. So I do my best.
And always remember, you are the best. I was going to say you are the best, so just be yourself and realize that sometimes when we say I'm giving the best I can, you're still basing on a world perception. So you just enter and go, no, I am who I am. So I can only give of what I have, which is, I've acknowledged that lots of times too, because we always try to exceed that. And, it's like, what was that one person said? Oh, we have limitations. I said, of course we do. And I actually find out what they are and exceed them. And my guys are really good at pointing things out and saying, okay, you know, realistically, if you think about it, maybe your reason you're watching Superman is because it's a good example to realize that you have no limitations. It's your human body that tells you otherwise, or people in your life, saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Says who? So it's like you have many levels to go, which you know that, but it's kind of like looking at Superman and realizing that, I guess a good example for me is why I used to watch Smallville. It's watching a young person go through and to realize he has abilities, finding what those abilities are, and then really honing up on those abilities that not just they help him, but if you want, I can never understand why my mom didn't like Superman. She thought this was a guy playing a god. Okay, now here's a true form of a Christian who says that's wrong. Even when the Bible says Jesus, it says in the Bible, Jesus says you are gods and you will do greater works than I do. So, and they always have a tendency to jump on all kinds of wacko stuff around it that says, well, what he meant was, I'm sorry, I'm not feeding into your perception. How it resonates with me is to show me my true power. And then when I watch Superman, the one thing you'll notice about Superman is he has this strong love for this earth and the people on it. So he's a really, it's one of those pure examples that we can do the same, because we also have no limitations to our powers. We just have to hone in on them, use them for the best of mankind, which always comes back to benefit us. Because when you give, you have to be open to receiving, because it gives somebody else another opportunity to give too as well. So it's a constant thing that's going on. And there has to be balance between that, between giving and receiving. The reason the Bible emphasizes that giving is more important, because that's where it starts. If you don't give, you get nothing back. That's the true essence of everything that goes on in the whole idea. Okay, nothing's more powerful than you are. And it also says in the Ten Commandments, it says, no gods before me. And what God is actually saying is, when you put me above you, you lose. But when you work with me, you will always exceed and always win. That's what it means. Because most people interpret the Ten Commandments to a materialistic way. Thou shalt not steal. Well, back in the day, they didn't have cars. But people always emphasize on that car thing. What it's actually emphasizing on is a spiritual context, on a spiritual basis. So therefore, when you do not love and you disrespect people, you have consequences to deal with because of what you haven't accepted as you. So when you look at the situation, if you steal a car or anything that has to do with theft, it means there's something within you that says, I'm unworthy, so I have to take it. When you commit adultery, you're stealing someone's life because you don't believe that you have the qualities to attract a perfect mate. When you sit there, you know, God before me, when you start looking at and saying you're a God, that's in a selfish way, that I don't need God because I can do everything myself. When you start looking at the Ten Commandments where it says no God before me, these things are not to control you. They're actually showing you that when things are put in the right way, it's like the law of attraction. When the law of attraction is done correctly, it always benefits you in a positive way. And that's what it's saying here. I've looked at situations with God and the idea that people think he's controlling you, you know, like the ideal no sex before marriage. If you sit there and honored that, do you realize how much baggage you would not have when you met the right one? And you would always see the right one so clearly. But we actually made decisions on our own because of free will, and we've done all these things. But if you look at those things in a true sense, it's just a father looking out for his children, just like you do. And that's what it's all about. But most people want to sit there and make it so freaking complicated and want to sit there and, as I seen a guy the other day do this, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments. I said, dude, you haven't read the Bible. He goes, what do you mean? Because realistically, Jesus says the greatest commandment was not the Ten Commandments. He said the greatest commandment was to love. And if you do that unconditionally, you will never break the Ten Commandments. So we don't have to focus on the Ten Commandments. We focus on what will put us in a situation where this will never happen. It's to love oneself. When you love yourself unconditionally in the truest sense of spirit, you love everybody else, and you would never do those things to another person. So it makes things so simple. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to find in a mate? You want someone to love you unconditionally as you do yourself. But until you do that, you're not going to find that person. Or as I say, you don't go looking for them. You allow it to happen. So all the things that you do for yourself will change the world, but you have to change yourself to go along with that. So therefore, you sit there and look at yourself and go, okay, I'm not attracting anybody in my life right now. Why not? Well, just keep going with the changes that you know you have to do, and usually you can find them so easily. By just looking at yourself going, is there something about myself that I don't love that could actually be creating a block to keep me from having this? More likely there is. And that's what I was saying before my drowning accident. It was like there was so much guilt because of certain things that happened as a 10-year-old that when I went back as a 40-year-old, I could see them and say, this is a 10-year-old mentality, which made it easier to go, okay, I can let that go now, which I've been carrying with me for so long, which has actually improved financially, connections with people. My favorite thing is the idea when I started focusing on chakras and realizing that chakras are so important. But the most important chakra, me personally, is the heart chakra, because we have three chakras above us and three chakras below us. The three ones below us are actually the ones that connect us to the earth, materialistic, our desires, our safety, that kind of stuff. And then the three above are the spiritual ones. And we see when we connect and follow our heart, it opens our three upper chakras so we can hear guidance that can actually help us with the earthly chakras to actually attract everything we'll ever need. Desire, wants and needs. And we'll also be able to distinguish between, are they worldly, that we've been taught for so long, or are these the things I really want, need, and desire? So, you know, like you were talking before, I believe in God. He will always sit here and focus on the situation when it's true. But see, one thing I want to stress on the most, people look at their path and go, okay, who's lighting the path? Well, when you get more enlightened, your path gets brighter. So you know beyond a shadow of a doubt which way to go. And that would not have happened if you wouldn't have connected to the source, the energy. That's why most people call it source, because it's showing you that without God, you would have no power or energy to actually tap into, to run through you, to accomplish these worldly things. That's why it's so important that you don't take God out of the equation. It's almost like having a car and taking the battery out of it and going, how come it's not going anywhere? It has no power source.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying to live my life as simple as possible. I've made a lot of changes, like I said, and I'm just letting my life be simple. I mean, I've eliminated a lot. So, you know, once I finish this little trial, I believe with all my heart that the right people are coming into my life, and I'm, you know, going to start a brand new life. I am starting a brand new life as of right now, and hopefully the right relationship will come in. Well, I know it will hopefully, but...
Well, if you ever want to sit down and do a private session, we can get more into that relationship that you're... If you want. I mean, I always tell people flat out that readings are good because it gives you insight, and the insight comes from the source. So all it can do is, if we really pay attention and realize what it's all about, we can get a glimpse into the future and go, I am on the right path, and embrace it. And if there are certain things that are coming up, it usually tells you how to get around them. Or maybe the idea of how to go over them smoother, you know? Speed bumps are speed bumps. But we know for a fact that you can actually run over them, cause a lot of chaos, or you can actually maneuver them, right? Where it's just a blip in the road.
Yeah.
Do you have any more questions before you go? I'm just saying, I was going to sit there and say this before. It was just the idea, I like working with people. I love working with people. And the idea of my favorite thing is life coaching, because it helps you to hone in on your abilities, to realize the more you connect with your abilities, the more you connect to the spirit of yourself, the closer you get to God. and you'll start seeing things as if, you start seeing God in everybody, realizing that we're all connected. I was talking with this today with this one girl. She said, "I'm single." I said, "Single is an illusion. Nobody's single. Because it's singularity. Even the idea of your body, physical and spiritual, there's always duality. So it's just craziness. That's why people are having such a hard time, even with relationships and stuff, because of the way they've been taught how to talk. You know, I'm looking for my soulmate. But what is that? It's simple, like you said, make things simple, and that's what I like to do too. Simple means two souls have been attracting each other, and now they've actually connected. Doesn't matter if you call it a soulmate, a twin flame, whatever, it's still a soul connection. So make it simple. Soul connection, two people who came to a realization, they're looking for somebody who actually, or they're attracting someone in their life to make them feel that they can be themselves. And that's what it's all about. So once you get to that point, and the other person makes me feel like I can be myself, and just whatever happens, happens. We were talking about this the other day, of why it's so important, the symbol infinity. If you look at the symbol infinity, it's an eight. But if you actually separate, it's two circles. Those two circles represents two people who love themselves unconditionally, who have attracted themselves for infinite love. And it also shows you how love actually travels between two individuals, like a figure eight. The eight is attached. The eight is attached to the hearts. And if that, as long as they honor themselves, the energy continues and the relationship becomes spontaneous. So therefore, you can actually, for once in your life, you can actually just enjoy it and still think about it. So what you're looking for is that's what you're looking for. And I guess I would sit here and say, keep that mentality that you have, and there'll be a certainty pretty soon. Probably a lot sooner than you think.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
It'll probably be a whole lot sooner than you think.
Well, I'm hoping, because I need...
I'm sorry, guys. I want to say one more thing. Take the word hope and kick it out of your conversation. Because when you look at the idea of word hope, you've heard people say this, I hope it happens. There's still a little bit of fear in there. But when you say faith, faith is a very positive, a lot of strength. It's tapping into you, knowing beyond the certainty it's going to be yours. Because of connecting and embracing yourself, you're going to find someone else who's going to embrace you too. Okay, that's what I'm saying. People go, hope should be in there. But put it like this. I have faith and hope, which makes hope more stronger.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, I should say. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so excited, you know, for a brand new life to come to me. You know, a brand new life has already come to me. It's just, you know, in layers. That next layer is going to be peeled away. But what really changed my life.
You're a whole person, right? You're already a whole person.
Oh, yeah,
like
so I'm
that.
Enjoying myself.
Peeling, what we're doing is we're peeling residuals off that we've been taught to get to the true self so we can actually live our lives. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It was just when you said peel away, I was like, here's a perfect example that we're already whole people. We're whole, complete, and perfect. It's just now we're clearing away those layers to prove it to ourselves. It does exist. It's been there the whole time. You are who you are.
Yeah. And I feel whole now, especially peeling off, you know, all these other negative forces away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more free and more light and getting rid of things that no longer serve me. And I get a lot of joy from, you know, going outside and serving the ground, you know,
mm-hmm.
picking weeds and working outside and taking care of the wildlife and so on and so forth,
mm-hmm.
connecting. That's my connection to God, you know, taking care of the natural environment.
Nature is, you know, well, everything's created by God, but nature is the most natural form of his creation. So that's why I would tell my friend, she goes, why do you hug trees? Don't you realize it's the most natural way to connect to the world again? It's also a great way to ground yourself because you can actually use the visualization of the roots of the trees to root your own self and the idea of grounding yourself more. Also, the idea of the more you connect to the world, as in using the visualization of seeing all those roots connected and your roots connected to that connects you to the whole world. So you're embracing, not just embracing a tree, you're embracing everything that the earth has to offer you, but you're also sending out with the same vibe of success, you're also wishing the same thing for everybody else. You love yourself so much you want everybody to be as successful as you are, which indirectly, the more successful people are, just contributes to your own success. So it's all one. It's all connected. It's all one entity. We, you know, it's like, look at the idea like this. Look at the sun. The sun has many rays. And the sun is God, and the rays are you. Okay? You are an individual. But you still resonate because of the connection to the source, which you can never get away from. It's only your human self that tells you otherwise. But once you get back to true spirit, you see yourself as a ray of light connected to God, and that ray of light that you are also has a tendency to reflect on other rays who have forgotten who they are, and you remind them because of who you just reconnected with and your true self. The sun shines on everyone. It doesn't choose who to resonate on. The sun touches everyone. And so does God, even if you want to believe it or not. It happens every freaking day. I actually heard a song like it, too. The sun shines on everyone. It doesn't choose. It just shines on everyone. When it rains, the rain doesn't choose who to rain on either. It rains on everyone. So, you know, it's like saying you're special, but aren't we all?
Yeah.
Just because there's out there, and the people you're talking about, just because they don't see that, we don't help you understand why they're so angry. Because they see you as a special person. Why can't I be special? Because you don't allow yourself to be. So the more brighter you get, don't be surprised the more, because I feel like some of these people are going to still cross your path or try. So just honor yourself to the point. I had to do the same to my mother and my friends, where it was just like, you're no longer allowed here because of your actions, where you won't sit there and look at the situation. You want to sit there and tell me who I am, but once you sit down, sit back and just take a look at me and see me for who I really am, not what you want me to be. And then you understand how wrong you are to sit here and try to control another. When, no, you know, it's like, I told my mom, you lived your life, you made your decisions, you've done what you want to do. Now it's my turn. So get the hell in my house, don't you? Something like that. Sometimes you got to be giving good.
So you feel that I'm doing the right thing then?
Oh, I know you're doing the right thing because you reflect my life so much, because I walked away from my family and everything else, went to a different place, and now I have a lot of people that I'd rather associate with than my own family. And I started having problems for a while there too, because I was forgetting my family. I realized the reason I'm forgetting them because they won't really honor me. So I'm not doing anything wrong. It's the ideal until they actually unconditionally love me. Because like I told you before, it's kind of money. You get away from your family, you can actually love them because you're not mad at them because they're always trying to change your life or trying to control you. They can't, but you can still see them for who they are and the ideal and still love them because you can't do anything else because you come to a point where you're just a loving being. You love everybody no matter what. That's unconditional love. They might not see that, but then again, who cares? I see it. I see it through them. That's all I need to know. But I also got prompted to come here to help other people, which I was criticized for a lot too because my daughters live in Ohio. I'm just trying to get established and go, okay, girls, come live here. So see, the things we do for ourselves in the long run will actually enhance our family too, one way or the other. We might not see it, but I just know for a fact it's going to happen. So yes, I definitely know I'm doing the right thing and you're going in the right direction. Because most people would look at you and say, well, you're being selfish because you're just doing things for yourself. Well, realistically, if Jesus would have been as perfect as he was, how good of an example would he have been for us? He wouldn't have been. And that's you. So the more you become you, the more you acknowledge who you are, the more you resonate, the brighter you get, the more of a good example you are for the world and everybody who crosses your path. And to start realizing, people used to cross your path to help you grow, and now you're the example to help them grow. So I know you're doing the right thing, okay?
That's wonderful. Yeah, I just feel like this is it, you know. I reached the end point, and that's it. It's over. It's done. But thank
it's
you.
It's definitely a chapter. It's definitely a chapter you're completing, but you got many, many chapters. Just not with them.
Just not with them.
Doesn't mean
yeah.
Don't. Just won't mean they won't mean. It doesn't mean down the road that they won't be a part of your book. But if you write a book, there's nothing good to say about them right now. That's their fault. So think about that.
Yeah, I want to. No, I don't even go there. I don't even think about that. Okay.
Right.
Well, that's wonderful. There's going to be some new chapters and better
there
experiences. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for speaking to me for so long.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. Please stop back, you know, call us back and tell us how things go and everything else. Be glad to hear from you again. Or like I said before, you want to call me and do a private reading with me on your relationship stuff? Be glad to hear from you. Okay?
Yeah, I would like to do that, especially when the relationship comes in. I'd like to find out more about it.
Okay. Well, I can give you the information. At the same time, I give the information to everybody else. It's simply just give me a call at 740-500-8863 or my website. What's my website? www.psychicxjourneyman.com. If your person is going to be visiting the Colorado Springs or Manitou Springs area, I also have a shop here at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue, right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle. God, I sound professional, don't I? Anyway, but we have a little small shop called the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop. It's about 5x6, but all we do in here is readings and sessions and stuff like that.
Excellent. Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
Well, it was fantastic talking to you.
It was really nice speaking with you. Thank you very much for the advice, and you have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye
Thank
now.
You. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, let's go into our next caller. Okay. I have no idea what happened there. Let's see if we can do this. All right, let's go to our next caller. It's 313.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Michigan.
So how was
and
Michigan
my name is Al. It's actually pretty nice for a change during this time of year. It's pretty nice.
I'm sorry, sweetie. What did you say your name was? I didn't mean to cut you off.
My name is Alfie.
Alfie?
Yes.
They had a movie called that, didn't they?
Yes.
And you're from Michigan. I'm actually originally from Ohio. That's what I was asking.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I have a sister in Ohio.
So how can I help you tonight?
I was actually calling to see about the relationship that I'm in. Is he my soulmate? And how is it? What's the outcome of the relationship? Are we going to have marriage and family or... What I mean, I know we're going through some things right now.
Let me ask you a question. Okay? Let me ask you a question real quick. Okay. Are you asking for a confirmation or is it really that you don't know? There's a difference.
Sometimes I feel like I know that it's going to be okay, and then sometimes I don't. So it's kind of weird.
Well, it's the idea of looking at the situation like this. Soulmates are spiritual connections. Spiritual connections can't be broken. Okay, but when you start looking at things through a physical sense, which means people's actions, it can make you think about it and go, okay, are we soulmates because he's doing something really stupid? When realistically, take a step back from the situation and ask yourself, how does it resonate with you? I tell people to focus on their heart chakra, the idea of the heart, because true soulmate connections is heart and soul. That's why they say that. So but you have to take a step back and look at the thing. Forget the actions, okay? People will do stupid things. But realistically, when you look at the situation, that doesn't really tell you who a person is. It just tells you at that time there's something within themselves. They're doing stupid actions. But you can still read through it, as in being soulmates or soul connection. You can actually read through that to see what it really is. Do you really love that man? Not if he loves you, okay? Once you come to the realization that you do still love this person, even to the point where you still really like yourself or love yourself, whichever way you want to do, then you will.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I still love him in spite of a lot of crap. But But
well, let's look at it this way, okay? Look at this. I was talking about this earlier. Soulmates, okay? This one lady told me this. She goes, we're soulmates, so whatever's going on right now, I have to put up with. I said, you do not have to put up with any kind of physical abuse because you're soulmates, because he's honoring that. And the only way he's ever going to honor that is to kick him to the curb to ask, hopefully he'll come to the point going, okay, that's my fault. Yes, it is. And she just had to do what she had to do. But she felt, she was under the assumption, because of some dumbass psychic who told her this too. I hate to say it that way, but that's cruel to tell somebody, just because you're soulmates, you don't have to put up with his bullshit. No, you don't. See, we have this thing called free will, and that psychic just violated that by telling that you had to do that when you don't have to do nothing. All you have to do is honor yourself, love yourself, take that responsibility for you. You're not put on this planet to take responsibility for nobody. And the more responsibility you take of yourself, the better you are for everyone else. Okay? Because you see, I see people out here do this. I've got to work my ass off for my family. They come first. No, they don't. You come first, or your family's going to suffer when you drop dead because you're not doing the work for yourself. You're not honoring yourself. You're not honoring your health. You're not telling yourself anything except for I got to sacrifice. And this is a human bullshit concept. I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. It's called a false sense of responsibility. If you do not take responsibility for yourself, if you do not respect you, nobody else will either.
Right.
And it's a breakdown. It's a breakdown of anything. So it's like, look at you, the guy you're with. I feel like there's a lot of disrespect there. So it's, sometimes you have to be, there's some things we don't like to do, but I just know for a fact if we do them, there's a positive outcome to it. Because if a person's not honoring the relationship or not working with you, or not even want to take any kind of consideration that what you're saying might be true, or even the idea of how you reflect that, you know? This person's not taking anything in. They're being self-centered to the point where they don't want it to. And most people who get defensive are usually, that's the message to you, that they're not listening to a damn thing you're saying. That defense move was the idea of shutting you off because you're right. You're telling the truth, and they don't want to hear it. So when you, if you have that continuously going on all the time, where they constantly got that wall up, then they're not working worth you. They're working against you. And you know, you got to take the situation and go, okay, what is good for me at this moment? Since this person's not being good for himself, the only answer you can come up with is I got to be good for myself. Since this person's kind of violating that whole thing, I have to walk away from it. That doesn't mean, most people freak out and go, okay, that's your human side going, insecure time, if I walk away, I might lose it. You never lose nothing. But there's definitely telling you something to back off, walk away, you know, to pull away from the situation.
Well,
if not, walk away.
Well, right now I'm in the process of backing up so I can see what's going on because he has a lot of stuff going on in his world, and I'm trying to back away because so that whatever he's going through, he can go through it. And
Well, the situation is, we can all be good for each other in these situations if people just allow it. But, you know, guys are the worst. You know, they're like, maybe you should find someone better for you. Maybe you should shut up and quit telling me what to do and start focusing on yourself, and maybe we could just patch this thing up. It's the idea of being strong with people. When people say tap into your strength, sometimes it means you have to sit there and tell them, too, that they don't some things they don't want to hear. I just went through this with my friend when she was telling me to stop saying she was flaky and flighty. And I said, you know something? I'll keep saying it until you prove me wrong. So therefore, that's my perception, that's what I see, and that's what I'm going to express. So maybe you should take that in consideration, what I see. Maybe the reason you're telling me to stop doing it because you see it too. And you need to take some time to take a look at that whole thing to change that in your own life. And that's how it works. You know, people sitting and look at you wrong. I said, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But that's my job to figure it out, to have that realization, not you. And when people start telling you those things, I guarantee they're not looking at their own infractions. They're blaming you, which means they're not willing to take that step within themselves to realize you're freaking out. I mean, look at this. This is what I see with your situation, okay? You have a guy who doesn't have issues, who doesn't have any kind of chaos. It's stuff that he wants to hang on to use it as an excuse not to really commit completely to a relationship. That's what I see. So since he's not willing to do that, I think if you left him in the freaking dust, the man would sit there and go, what just happened? I thought I had the upper hand on this. It's, I mean, I hate to say it to some people, but, you know, the hardest things to do is to walk away from people so they'll have those realizations. And that's what I was saying before. When you walk away from people, it doesn't mean it's always the end. It's only, sometimes I feel like in those situations, you're honoring yourself. And that relationship does end. It's because they refuse not to. Because I always believe very strongly when relationships come like together, soulmates, both people see exactly what's going on. And when you have situations like this, one sees it, wants to embrace it. The other one sees it and basically wants to come up with all kinds of excuses why not to embrace it. So since they're not going to honor that, they're not honoring themselves. If they can't honor themselves, they definitely can't honor you. So you have to make a hard decision and go, okay, I love myself just too much to put myself through this crap. And in the process of saying that you love yourself that much, that's when this person's going to have a realization. If he's going to let it go, because sometimes I get sick of watching television too, just some of the stupid-ass advice people give everybody. It could have been something, but it wasn't, so move on. I'm sitting there going, no, honor yourself and keep going forward. There is no such thing as move on. Because you're constantly moving. Life doesn't stop.
Right.
You might ponder for a moment. And the only time you ever stop is because you're thinking too much. Just keep going forward. Because I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, look at relationships. Relationships are nothing that we attract someone in life because we're missing something. We are not missing a damn thing. Nothing. We are perfect, whole, complete individuals. Okay, and once we realize that, then we attract someone else into our lives to share that with them. But if they're not on the same page as we are, of course they're going to question it. Maybe they have the same perception. I'm missing something in my life, and when they get this thing, it's amazing with guys. Women consider, okay, I'm missing something. They might actually embrace it and go, okay, great. But the guy will sit there and go, okay, I feel like I have a missing piece in my life. But they'll sit there and question it till doomsday. Sometimes it makes you feel like, why was I born as a guy? Because these people just don't get it. What you're looking for is standing right in front of you, and you still won't sit there and honor that because you can't see yourself as worthy of having it. So that's why they act so stupid, even mean sometimes.
Yeah.
But I just get the impression when you walk away and you honor yourself and say, you know something, what you're doing right now by not embracing this relationship is really a strong disrespectful to me as much as the relationship itself. And hopefully you'll see that by the disrespect you've been doing to yourself and wake up. And that's the point. When you walk away and say, I'm done with this whole situation, I've made a promise to myself to be happy, and this is not it. Since you're not willing to do that, because you are casting off a great image of yourself, you're reflecting back into him about himself. So you're showing him the possibilities of what he can be. He's not looking at that. I had a girlfriend like that too. Well, I sat there and looked at her and I said, you're seeing me of what you can be, but realistically, it is within you. Just let it out. I can look at you and see where I've been to even appreciate you more to where you can show me where I've been to keep going forward because of what I've accomplished. So we're actually reflecting each other very great at places where you want to be, where I've been, and using both of those things to keep propelling ourselves to go forward. So you see how great relationships can be? If people would just look at them for what they are and just that acceptance, that's why it's so important to accept yourself because it helps the other person to accept themselves too. I'm just saying if they don't do it, you have no other choice to walk away or look at the person going, you know something? I remember looking at my list of desire things and I don't remember an ass who can't freaking get his head out of his ass. So therefore, you can't be the one. You can't be the one because on my list it says perfect, same page. And I guarantee you, most of these things, you've actually seen that too, where you're on the same page. This is when That's what I'm saying. That's the confusing part. When you first met, the reason you met each other because you're both being yourselves. Okay.
But see,
you're confused
and then
because
I met.
He changed. He didn't change. He just. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was going to say I met him a long time ago, and we were just friends. We weren't even on that level at all, and I had this feeling, and then I let it go for years, and then we connected within the last year and a half, and it's like, okay, so, and I remember that feeling that day a long time ago, so, I mean.
I'm just saying, when you guys first met, you guys are being honest, you're being yourselves. It's when he stopped being It's like you started feeding into fears, which when you, every time you feed into fear, it's an illusion. So you stop being who you are because you're given the illusion, all this energy, this fear, and it's starting to reflect in your life of him. Fears make people distance themselves from the real. Okay? That's why it's
right.
So important to let go of baggage. Baggage can be such a big-ass block. I always sit there and say, baggage could actually be two big-ass bags with all the freaking stones in it. How long would you carry it?
And he has a lot of baggage. A lot.
I know,
lot.
But I'm just saying with the baggage, but like I said, with baggage, that's what I was trying to say earlier, to make it more simple by saying, look at life as being two big bags and all those issues you have are in the bags. You'd probably only carry it for 5 minutes and drop it. But when people start having these things like he's going, it means they've picked up that bag of insecurities again, and they're using, and it's like almost like turning to the side and using it as a block between the two of you, saying, well, I have all this stuff to deal with. Not realizing realistically, two people attract each other for lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is we love this person, okay, but we also see the similarities in each other. Well, it's not just one person facing those issues. If he has problems or issues with relationships, the only way you can deal with those issues is to be in a relationship. So now you can really look at this guy going, you're a dork. You have a perfect opportunity to get rid of almost all your baggage because of the relationships you've been through because you're in a good one. And you decide not to see that. You're not honoring that. You're not honoring yourself. Because it's like, I've told this before, too. I've actually told girls this. We are sitting here talking to each other because we both want it. The universe does not bring two people, two situations, two opportunities together unless they both want it. That's just how the universe works. That's a law of attraction. Okay? It doesn't distinguish between the two. So there are people who come together who have insecurities and baggage and stuff like that. But you also are like two people looking at the reflections of each other. This says you come back into like you are in a good place in your life. And he's still got baggage. See, he can look at you where he can be with no baggage. But see, he's not seeing it. It's almost like he's turned off this picture and go, oh, that's just either too easy or I don't want to sit there and believe it. No, that can't be. Almost like a person's been carrying issues for too long, but they don't think that there's another solution. And when a solution presents itself, that's like I was saying before. It's amazing how people want to change their lives, but they'll sit there and basically defend it while they need to keep it, not realizing they're being a contradiction. And when people get into that point of being contradictions, you have to walk away. You can't sit here and use the excuses we've been together this long. Oh, I love him. Those are just facts. But if you look at the other facts of a person who's not returning it or even refuses to do so, the love that you have for him, you have to realize you have the love for yourself. So you have to walk away because of that. I feel like with this situation is I would still give it like a month to see if you can get some changes with the whole thing.
Okay.
So I wouldn't walk... But it just seems like, I just feel like you're going to come to a point going, enough's enough. But again,
we'll see.
The one thing I see, listen to this, I get the impression too, if you do walk away, I also feel, it's like this. It's like looking at your connection with each other, like rubber band. He's running
uh-huh.
away. Okay,
uh-huh.
If you walk away, the rubber band or the love that you have between the two of you, it's like
uh-huh.
a rubber band. If you walk the other way too much, it will spring you back. So I feel like you're going to be walking away, and then you're going to be surprised when he starts gravitating your way, which means there's really something going on, as in true love between the two of you. But you have to have faith.
Because I was going to say, because every time we get to a point where it feels like we're really going to be okay, then
uh-huh.
he spazzes out.
That's the insecurity coming in, going, I'm not meant to
okay.
be happy. I'm not
okay.
meant to be happy. That's what I'm saying. You got to be strong with him and going, that's just an insecurity you need to let go of because you're letting this insecurity block your vision of what's really going on. Things are great. There's no reason to feel that way. See, that's what I'm saying. People have to understand one thing. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Yeah, you do. Because in this moment, he needs someone to snap him out of it and say, you know something? You keep saying you want to face those fears. Well, boy, when one of those fears come up, you're the first one to hightail out the freaking door. So it's like looking at him going,
right.
So why don't you ask yourself, why do you keep running away from something that you know yourself is getting? There's a freaking fear that you're hanging on to. It's a certainty. There's nothing else you can keep. People do not run away from things that are not good for them. They run away from perfect things that are good for them. let me rephrase that. No one runs away from something that doesn't exist. That's what I meant to say. So what you guys have must be something real, because he keeps running away from it. Human, just if you want to go on the human concept, as humans, we do not run away from fear. That doesn't scare the hell out of us. So therefore, he's fearful of something here in this relationship, which means it does exist. That's why he runs away. If, you know, if there wasn't no insecurity, no fear, no nothing, why would he run? There'd be no reason to run. This is what I have a tough time with girls when I sit there and tell them, this guy loves you. And they go, well, if he loves me, how come he won't be with me? Because fears are like freaking stone walls. Once that fear comes up, it's a block between the two of you. Okay, what you're seeing is running away. It's just a person backing off, and because of all the insecurities, you won't let go of, which are creating all these blocks that keep pushing you further and further away. That's why you sit here and say, when he just lets go, and he starts being in a good way, and he starts gravitating towards you, because he sees the truth, and he loves that. He wants that. He knows how he feels. So he comes closer to you. And then those insecurities come to the surface, which means things that are within himself that he hasn't let go of. And when you hang on to those things long enough, they will create freaking blockages. I've actually seen people throw furniture between them and somebody else. That's how bad their fear was. I love you, and you're too good for me. So, you know, it's kind of hard to explain to people. Yeah, we've all been taught when people love each other, they're supposed to be together. But we also have this thing called free will. Just because it's good for you doesn't mean you're going to embrace it, and that's what he's doing. But I'm just saying, be strong. Be strength, you know. Most people sit there and don't. It's like if you have something within yourself, it has a voice. It needs to be spoken. And I always tell people that you're going to go and look at him going, I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Well, yeah, because nice I'm a little away. Too nice sometimes.
I'm just saying, find a nice tap away, but let it happen. Let it rip. Because I've done, I mean, when I started to tell my friend, this is the thing, I always use my friend as an example because I'm very straight with her. I'm very straight with everybody. But the one thing I've noticed that when I'm being that honest, yeah, they don't like what I say, and they might even be mad at me. But it still seems to do one thing. If those are really relationships, friendships are meant to be, all it does is make them stronger. When we be nice, when we're being nice, you know, when we're being nice and we're sitting there going, oh, I don't want to hurt the man, and, oh, he's been through a lot of stuff, he's got baggage, and he's got, you know, he's got past relationship, he's been hurt. What do you freaking do? That's his job to take care of that stuff, not me. And I've done the same with girlfriends, too, saying, you know, hey, you just look at the situation. You have attracted me in your life because you said you wanted something better. Well, you got it.
Right.
But you're still hanging on to the bad stuff, which is keeping us apart. So what do you want? You know, what's more important here, your baggage or you? What is true love? You are. Now look at the situations you're hanging on to. Realistically, they're not even physically existing. It's all in your head. They're all thoughts. And if you keep hanging on to them, they do have a tendency to create physical ailments. Either in your body or you attract negative people who will keep constantly reaffirming, oh, this person's bad for you. Let's go hang out with me. Well, when you start looking at those friends that you think are friends, and you look at their lives going, but he doesn't have anybody. That's kind of awakening for you. Say, okay, he doesn't have a girlfriend. Oh, she doesn't have a boyfriend, and she wants to hang out and be miserable. I have a hard time with people who said they're happy being single. Because I don't think we're ever destined to be by ourselves. We're, you know, I think it's what soulmates are all about. Two people to find each other who've already basically determined they were going to be here anyway. So they found each other. It's great. I love it. If we just get everybody else to go, okay, this is the way it is. It's just simple. You know? You found somebody where when you love them, you can be yourself. In the process of being yourself, you didn't realize that you're carrying about 4 or 5 wagons of baggage. That's what's keeping you from being yourself. But here you found a person who still kind of resonates because they're being themselves, which helps you be yourself. All he has to do is take his hand off the wagon and walk away. Or my favorite meditation is let go. As you're letting go, as you say the word go, visualize all those things that you know you need to let go. Surround them with a pink bubble and watch them go off into the universe. Shake your hands and be done with it. Sure, he'd probably be hard about the whole thing because he's stubborn man. I hate when people
judge
somebody.
Yeah, he's very stubborn. I don't know if you can pick that up, but he's very stubborn.
It's like a guy sitting there looking at the situation going, he's basically making, he's justifying why he needs to do what he does, but it's based on a fear. I know people say, well, men have trouble with commitments. No, we don't. I know I don't. But I can look at the guy going, it's like a guy sitting there going, well, I went through the situation with this one girl. It's the idea of someone to look him in the face and go, who cares? What do you freaking do? That happened? I'm not saying it didn't happen. But that woman doesn't exist anymore. She's moved on. So why don't you try doing the same? He needs to forgive himself, I guess. It doesn't matter if he did anything good or bad. There's some kind of forgiveness that needs to be going on. I'm just saying, look at the person and go, dude, do me a favor, just snap out of it. You are a freaking fruitcake. But when you know when you let go of that baggage, you're the nicest person in the freaking world. You're not stubborn. You're kind of flexible. But it's these insecurities, these past experiences that make you do stupid things as an action. But you can actually see him for who he is. That's what I was saying before. You can look at him because when you meet your soulmate, there is no question he's your soulmate. The only reason we ever question is because of what he does physically, human. His human side. I mean, most people think I'm like, oh, are you from another planet? No, there's a difference between your human self and your spiritual self. Once it's soul, pure, has no limitations, but then you have the human side that's been influenced by your parents, environment, kind of stuff, that thinks there's limitations. There's not. When you tap into the soul, you know that, too. We all have a tendency to moments in our lives where we kind of get relaxed or take a deep breath, and we have this very strong sense of clarity. That's when you tap into your true spirit. You're tapping in and saying, I don't have limitations. Why do I think I do? Okay? And then the ego will come in and go, well, this is why. Da, 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 da. That's when you tell the ego to shut up. Or my favorite meditation. Well, I had this affirmation. Well, not affirmation, but it's a visualization where I see myself driving the car. Okay? The car is the body. Me driving the car. Me behind the wheel, that's the spirit. I take the ego and throw him in the back seat. I'm telling them, I'm sorry, dude, but I don't listen to backseat drivers. So either shut up unless you really have something encouraging or supportive. If you don't, just shut your mouth. Because people always ask me, how can you tell the difference? It's that freaking phrase we use. How come I can't stop second-guessing myself? Second-guessing myself, which means guidance is first, ego is second. So what you do is you listen to the very first thing that comes in, and then when the ego comes in, it usually has a tendency to base things on fear. It makes you feel fearful, makes you feel scared, or it tries to talk you out of something using those fears. But when guidance comes through, guidance is always saying, hey, you know something? You can do whatever you want. You're a powerful being. Or maybe just the ideal that when the guidance comes to you, it's just you can feel the power in it. But ego always makes you feel like you do when you meet somebody for the first time, a little weak in the knees and that kind of stuff. And you're starting to go, oh, yeah, you're right. If I do this, I might get hurt. I might do da-da-da. That's your ego talking. And it's usually the second thing that comes through. And I was telling a friend of mine, that's why I have a tendency to be so quick at answers when I do readings, because I've learned to listen to the very first thing that comes through, which is always the answer. So when you're talking to him, it's like looking at people going, okay, this guy's going to say a bunch of bullshit. I would sit there and suggest in a situation like I've done it myself, where you have a person telling you stuff, sometimes I just walk off. And say, hey, if you want to tell me the truth, that's great. But until you do, I'm not listening to this bullshit. And people think that might be insensitive, but someone's lying to you. Isn't that insensitive too?
Yeah.
So it's the idea of learning how to respect oneself, that when you listen to your intuition and your abilities, you know what people are all about. I have a tendency to call it my spidey sense and go, okay, this person's just really full of it. Or I had a girlfriend who I really want to be a girlfriend again, is she would sit there tell me that, she told me how she felt, and I was just like, why do I feel like she just lied to me? And then her actions afterwards, you could see the guilt, where she started dissing herself from me, because she wasn't being totally honest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. But when you sit there and look at them and go, don't care, you know, you look at them and go, hey, you're an awesome, fantastic person, they might look at you, guys are the worst. Wait, you can find someone better than me. No, you can't.
And the eye contact thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't do that eye contact thing. sometimes I can tell by his eye contact.
My ex-wife used to be the one where she'd see everything in the freaking room except me. I said, excuse me, but I'm over here. I have no idea what you're looking at, but I just asked you a question. It was after we were divorced. I looked at her and I said, a psychic told me that you still love me. She looked at every freaking wall speck in that freaking room. She would say, no, I don't. I have no, I don't. I'm like, okay, that's great. You told the walls, you told the ceilings that you don't love me, but you haven't told me. So why don't you try it? See what happens. I said, I won't get back with you. I would never get back with you. But it's just a confirmation. Just because one reason is because she was married to my brother.
Oh, okay.
So I would never go back down that road. That's like a yellow brick road that someone's painted red. If you go down that way, I guarantee you'll get lost. Because it's not bright anymore. It's more about hatred and anger that maybe they haven't dealt with. So if you go back down that way, they might take it out on you because you are the reminder of what they've done. I always say, don't go down that road, because I guarantee they're definitely going to take it out on you. So let them basically wallow in their own freaking pain, and maybe one day they'll come to you and apologize. If they don't, maybe they're just not going to come to that realization in this lifetime. Maybe they're not going to allow themselves to get to that level, because they can't, which means they don't love themselves. So if you come to the conclusion with the guy you're with and just realize he's never going to come to that, he's never going to step up to the plate, then go find another baseball game.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know for a fact, when you help run, the bases are easy. Doom, doom. If you got someone pondering, they get to the second base going, I don't know if I want to go home. Well, you just hit a home run. You got to go home. I don't know. See, that's the same thing. That's what I'm saying when you have people hesitating. Okay, they want to go home. They love to go home. There's an insecurity saying, if I go home, will it be everything I wanted? Well, you have to go and find out. That's what guidance is about, too. I always tell people when the first thing comes through, sometimes it might not make sense. But I guarantee if you follow it, it will. Sometimes guidance is giving you details and stuff, but sometimes the guidance is also trying to help you realize one thing, to trust yourself, to trust that guidance, to trust that energy. Because until you trust yourself, you can't trust it. You can't trust your angels and guides, because you're not open to it. That's why it's so important to get that kind of connection with yourself. Because you're a soul. You're a spirit. Once you do that, you're on the same level as your angels. You're on the same level as your God, as God, and everything goes along with it. So they all become more of a reality for you. Also, the people in your life that shouldn't be there become more of a reality, too, while they need to go get cleared out. So some people are scared to connect with that spirit self, too, because they're scared of what they might have to give up, which more likely they've already had the realization. So just go and do what you got to do. I swear to you, if you just live your life, do what you want to do with your life. If this person's supposed to be a part of it, that's what it's all about, sharing your life. But if you're not living your life and you put everything on hold, hoping for someone to make it, to do something, you're actually part.
I'm definitely not going to do that.
Okay, cool. I'm just saying, keep doing what you're doing. Because I feel like you're on the right path. I just think sometimes you're kind of scared that if you continue to keep doing what you're doing, he might not be a part of your life. Not realizing that might be the universe being selective and saying, be honest with yourself. Could it be honestly somebody else out there? Could it be better for you? Because I guarantee you, I get the impression you're tired of being a therapist.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm just saying, you're destined to be a girlfriend, a wife, not a therapist. And sure, yeah, people go, well, aren't people supposed to work through things? Yeah, work through things together. Look at the situation you're in. You're not working together. He wants to go, I got to go off and do what I got to do. You can never face relationship issues if you're trying to be single. Sure, you should have a good relationship with yourself, but he still needs your reflection, because you have a great relationship with yourself, great reflection. And he needs to see that. I think it's one thing why he has a tendency to distance himself. I don't want to see the truth yet.
I told him, like, actually it was last night, I was telling him that he texted me an issue, and I was like, why are you texting me? You could have called me and we could have resolved it in 5 minutes. But because you're texting me, it was drawn out into a whole another day for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, texting is not a good form of communication for anything, except if you're already together. and say your boyfriend's in college and he's in a class and you want to text him something, that's what it's for. It's not another form of communication. People are like, oh, I like texting. I don't, because there's so many things that could be misunderstood or might be missed. Because I know I've actually texted myself, and sometimes the messages don't even go through. And that's a problem. Because I had this one girl, she freaked me out. I said, you need to tell this guy how you feel. Okay, I'll text him tomorrow. Excuse me? Telling somebody how you feel is a face-to-face situation, which means you're having a tough time facing your feelings. Okay, so look at it that way, too. This guy seems like he wants to deal with people through a text. But realistically, he's just hiding. Because when I do relationship counseling for people, especially if people meet them online and internet and that kind of stuff, I recommend that they actually meet each other, if not in the first 2 hours, in the first 2 days. So you can actually have that initial connection. But I've worked with so many people. There was one lady who was like, she'd been talking to this guy on the internet through texting, well, not texting, but what they call that, chatting and stuff,
mm-hmm.
for 8 months. And they only lived 20 minutes away from each other. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
And when I talked to her, I told her, I said, you guys are not being totally honest and being open with each other. She goes, oh, when you know, yes, I am. But when you first meet each other, you're not supposed to do that. Yes, you are. Because if you're pretending to be something you're not, and the first time you lit down to be yourself, and the person sees something totally different, they're going to see you as a liar. Why? Because you are. That's why I always tell people, we were doing a show one night, I said, this is what you need to do. Get off Facebook. Facebook is like a freaking danger to freaking relationships. It's good to send a message to somebody to meet me at the coffee shop, you know? That's good. But also the idea of stop making good impressions and be yourselves. That's what people do. Make a good impression. But you know something? That's what your parents taught you. You know, give your best impression. I've seen impressionists. They're pretending to be somebody else by doing other voices. So impressionists, it's kind of amazing how our words are so simple if we just listen to what they're saying. But we've been saying them for so long, we just look at them as words. We forget the meaning behind them. And I think people do the same thing with love. They're always saying, I love you, but do they really love you? I was watching Facebook, too. They have all the spiritual people in there. What you need to do is love yours, da-da-da-da. So I wrote one day, I wrote on Facebook, I said, do you guys actually do what you say that you do when you put these things on there about all the spiritual stuff you're doing? Because I know some of you, and I know for a fact you don't, because your life will be so fucked up if you were listening to the things you're actually putting on Facebook saying, you know, spirit is this, and soul is this, and soulmates, and love, love, love. I said, I know you guys. That's one thing you're missing. You're not doing the love thing. But you love telling everybody what it's all about. So I want you to sit here and listen to your own advice. And the reason I say that, because I've been told that myself. And when you start listening to that kind of advice, or just in the process of doing readings for people, if I listen to the advice I give other people and put it in my own life, because it came through me as a message, doesn't mean the message is just for that person, because I was also delivering it, and I believe that every time anything crosses your face or crosses your path in any kind of form, it's also for you too. So therefore, it's being said through me, but I'm also hearing it. And I'm also seeing the reaction the other person is doing too. So I take all those things in together, probably save myself over $100,000 in freaking therapy, because I listen to those things. And angels will definitely take you away from doctors and all these people that, and not all together, but I'm just saying the people that are not being totally honest in the ideal saying they want to help the world. You don't help the world by being textbook. You help the world by being passionate about what you learned, because it resonates through you. You are it. It's like people with the Bible. It's another thing with people out here preaching. What I look for in people who preach is, am I hearing their passion or am I hearing their hatred? When a person's preaching the Ten Commandments, he's not focusing on what it actually says in the Bible. What's the greatest commandment? Love. But he's talking about the Ten Commandments. And almost like saying, listen to me. And this is what the Bible says. I said, the Bible doesn't say nothing unless you have the DVD. The Bible only resonates with you. It's a feeling. It's love. And those things in that Bible are going to do nothing but to help you be more of a loving person, to connect to the world in a loving way, to make a great impression, and hopefully somebody sees what you've done for yourself, but they'll do the same thing for themselves. That's love in its truest form, of giving of yourself. And you're going to get something back in return every time. I used to have that. One of my favorite saying was, when it comes to money anyway, is that the idea of the money I spend enriches society and comes back to you tenfold. Okay, if you take that same comment and you put it into relationships, what I give to others comes back to me tenfold. I feel like in this situation, if you're self-employed, that will come back to you tenfold too as well, in love and money. See, because money is, I don't care what anybody says, money in the truest form is a great manifestation. Well, it's a physical manifestation of giving and receiving. And if people look at it that way, instead of the money thing, you know, or I put this woman in shoes, I hate money, money's not good for you. I said, it's probably why you don't have any. Because you realize that it's not the, money's not evil. It's what people do with it. It's like a guy who has a hammer in his hand, okay? He can build a house, very positive outcome, or he can take that hammer and beat someone in the head with it, which is very negative. But see, the hammer is not evil. It's the hand that's on it. And it can also be as positive as it is negative. So look at your friend. What does he have in his hand? Is it a positive hammer or a negative hammer? Does it hurt you? If it's hurting you, then you have to walk away from the situation. And look at that and have faith that when you walk away from the situation, he'll have such a major realization because of what you do have together, that he'll come to you. Once he comes to you in the truest form, I see this relationship going forward in a very positive way too.
Yeah, because most of the time it's not hurtful, but, like, for instance, yesterday, it was hurtful. okay. How we get here? So, I mean, I guess it's like that rubber band. If I start working away, and then, like you said, if it's going to work, then we'll bounce back. But
you want to shoot him anyway.
Yeah, I have my days on that too.
I'm just saying, when you see something so real, it's terrifying when you see people walk away from it. Because you're like, okay, I need to get what I want too. It's like living with two people.
Right,
because
I am a giving person. So I'm constantly giving, not just to him, but to others. So sometimes I think people take it for granted when you are a giving person, that you're just going to keep on giving.
Say that. You look at those people. Those people have a tendency to look at everybody going, I don't have anything. How come I don't have anything? So I'm going to use you up. Not realizing they really don't have anything because they're not giving anything.
Right.
When you give nothing, you get nothing back in return.
Because I've actually told him that I don't really worry about things like that, like giving things, because it comes back to me. I've actually told him that, and meaning it's true. It's true. It comes back. So.
Well,
I don't know.
All thing I want to say is just work on the situation. If you need any more help, I gave the information out earlier about just calling me for private readings, which is a simple number. It's just 740-500-8863. Just give me a call, and I always tell people, yes, I do charge for readings.
Okay.
I guarantee if you call me, I can give you a great price. Because that's the one thing we always tell people, too. It's like with relationships. These people think they're unworthy. That's why they treat you like they do. Okay? So when I do readings for people, is the idea of teaching them that they have worth. That's why they pay money. Because they're investing in themselves. They're looking for changes. They can't find the changes with themselves. They're not listening to their guides to find the changes. But if they take some money to invest in a person who can help them because they can see it, it will make your life a whole lot different. And that's the whole thing. Everything has worth. So in that kind of exchange, money has worth because of you. You're in giving to me, who also has the same kind of worth within himself, who also feels very confident because he's very open to the answers to give to you. So it all works great. Because I've actually done free readings for people. And it's amazing because one lady came back and she's like, something just happened to me, like you said it was going to. I said, well, why do you sound so like surprised? She goes, well, you gave it to me for free. So I didn't think it was real. I said, okay, so therefore you must have a really bad time with yourself, too, of looking at yourself and saying, you're a real person, too. You have real desires, and for some reason you're putting this to the side. And that's what I was trying to do to her. But it's kind of funny. The next time I charged her, she had a whole lot more belief in what happened, which is kind of funny. But that's how it works. Because people always ask, why do you keep charging? It's a gift. Yeah, Michael Jackson had a gift, too. He made millions. You know why he made millions? Because people came. You listen to some of the record companies that came to him and gave him this money, saying they believed in him. So therefore, the only reason that happened, because if you look at the situation before Michael Jackson died, he had a lot of belief when he was younger. But as he got older, he started having a lot of doubts within himself, which created these infractions, which actually ended a person's life. Sure, we can blame the doctor, but he was just a catalyst of something Michael had attracted into his life that caused the outcome the way it did. So we all have to take responsibility for our own actions. The doctor, he was there. Michael, the whole thing. Everybody was there, you know? And the reason they're there, because they're pretty much on the same wavelength. They're on the same page. Negative, that's one thing about people don't understand about the law of attraction. The law of attraction doesn't distinguish between good and evil. It just attracts to you what you believe is true. So therefore, if you believe that you and this guy are supposed to be together, and let's say that doesn't happen, it's just the universe saying to you, there's somebody better for you. Don't look at yourself as something you did wrong. Because if you sit there and look at yourself and say, I did everything right, that means there's on the other side, the person's not. So therefore, put blame where blame belongs. And say, okay, I guess he didn't want it. But it did exist. And that's one thing I've always had trouble with women saying, okay, and men too, but mostly women because I do a lot of work with women. But I was sort of focusing on the situation going, look at the thing. It's a perfect example. Connections and bonds happen. What happened between the two of you is real. Okay? It's always been real. It's the idea of a person's actions who doesn't want to believe it after a period of time because it got too intense. Okay, look at it. It's too intense. So I can't do this. But on you on the other side going, no, this is real. I want this. So what you got to do is walk off and go and have faith. Whatever I focus on, whatever I deserve, I will have. If it's not him, I will have the relationship I've always wanted, and I will live it. And I will have a great, fantastic life. And maybe you might find out this guy was actually hindering that. But then again, he might show up at your doorstep and have the best relationship ever had. That's what faith is all about. But you have to have that visual in your mind and say, okay, this is what I see. And it actually says in every book you ever read, if you can actually mentally see it in your mind, it does exist. But your faith is going to bring it into reality, into visible form. So you got to maintain that faith. You got to keep going, I don't care what I see. I don't care what this guy does. I still have to focus on what I see as the outcome. That's the important. Outcome is important. The universe will take care of the rest. Or God will take care of the whole thing for you. But you have to have that input. That's why they call it co-creation. You're working together, okay? And when you have that kind of faith in God, since you're creating the image of God, when it says let go and let God, it's actually talking about you. That you've, at that moment, when you have that kind of faith, you just reconnected to the source, God. Okay, so you can't take God out of the equation as much as you can take yourself out of it because you're one and the same. Okay, so have that kind of faith, and you will definitely have the relationship you want. I'm just saying, don't look at yourself as a failure because you don't get the person you wanted. Look at the situation of what the outcome is as having a happy relationship. And even the outcome is not a happy relationship. It's living that relationship. Having that long-term relationship. What is a long-term relationship for you? Forever. If you haven't determined that, then determine that. Yeah, so I'm saying it because people go, I want long-term, but they might have a fear in their minds that long-term for them is 5 years.
No, life.
Are they listening to some kind of stupid-ass psychiatrist that says, physical attractions only last between 6 to 8 months. Oh, shut up, dude. Of course physical attractions might last that long, but when you put spirit and true love behind it, they last forever. That's why people are so content when they really love each other. You don't see them physically hopping in a freaking bush and having sex all the freaking time. It's even been proven that people that are in great, fantastic, awesome, true loving relationships, sex is only 25%. People in bad relationships, it's almost 85%. So they're compensating by using sex because it feels good, not realizing you guys are just like dogs in the neighborhood. You're not really expressing love. You're expressing a fear that if you have lots of sex, then you're going to have a long-term relationship when all you're doing is having a sexual relationship, which usually lasts between 6 to 8 months. So when you have a really true soul connection, that connection will never happen as the point of walking away, changing, not being there. Because most of the time when you connect with a soulmate, or as I call them, soul connection, you've probably been in a past life with these guys at least 3 or 4 times, if not more. So it's actually a proven example that love continues. And you guys always have a tendency to find each other. Sure, there's different kind of situations and different kind of things on different levels. Two people coming back to finish up a breakup and stuff like that. But in this situation here, I see the person who's so scared of it because it's too familiar to them, which means it's a past life connection. I have to go into this last person, but it was really nice meeting you, and I would love to do some private sessions with you, so give me a call and we'll go from there. If you want, you can always call back here too as well. We'd love to hear about you, how this all turns out. Okay?
Okay, and then I can check your website, right? The number again?
I think you can actually go on here, yeah, on the
okay.
informational page and get it. But again, the number is
740-500-8863. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you, and you have a great night, okay?
Thank you, you too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go back in. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go to this last caller, which is area code 646. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
My name is Ann. Thank you for taking my call.
Your name is Ann? Okay, so how can I help you?
I think you answered some of my part of my question already with the other caller, but I just wanted to know what energy are you picking up for me right now in general? Or is that too broad of a question to ask?
No, you actually seem more positive than when you first came on to begin the show.
I'm sorry?
So you can definitely feel people when they come in the room and you feel like they've actually been listening. You can definitely change. Your vibration changes because you've had several realizations as you were listening. So when you look at those things, one thing I would sit here and say is what you've realized, just follow through with it. It's a relationship issue, too. I really appreciate you waiting as long as you did.
Thank you. Thank you for taking
Where are you
my
from?
Call. I'm from New York.
Mm-hmm. Have I ever talked to you before?
Yes. You talked to me. This is October. I would say maybe May. April, May, June. Something like that.
I was trying to remember because I remember talking to someone who sounds like you. But I was trying to figure out because, you know, it's like one of those things where you feel like you pick up a relationship. You pick up a distant guy. And it was just the idea of looking at a situation of a person, it's almost like being friends. But it was supposed to be more of a person who's scared to death of it. I was just making sure I got the right person.
Well, he and I, we have it hasn't been solidified, but we've been spending quite some time together. It's been a little over a year. And
is he still using the word friendship?
I don't like using that word. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, personally, to be honest with you, I don't like using all the words at all. I just sit and look at people and say, hey, you know something? We're having all these great moments, and one of these days we're going to look back and look at all these great moments we had together. A relationship is a relationship. It doesn't have to be clarified. It doesn't have to be spoken. Because I've had people do that, especially younger people now. Because if everyone declare our relationship, I say, who the hell is he, Christopher Columbus? I state with you, I'm a girlfriend. And so they're going, are you serious? I said, well, she goes, what do you do? It just becomes a relationship. We're sexing, you know, we're having sex, we're kissing, we're hugging, and now we're getting married. But no one ever said we're in a relationship. It just was, you know. And I actually like the ones where some people look at me, I've had some girls look at me going, you know something? You're taking so long to get to the sex part. No, I'm not. I'm actually honoring you and getting to know you, which means it makes me wonder how much respect you have for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean she was sitting there saying, are you holding back? No, I want to have sex as much as you do, but something about the situation when you meet, you do like to take that. I mean, I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but there's people on different levels and different situations. I mean, shoot, I mean, I hate to say this, but today I was in my shop today, and some girl comes up there, she's looking for a friend. She goes, well, she's mad at me because her boyfriend bought me a drink, and now she's freaking out. And I'm sitting there going, okay, it's great. And she was like, and then she said, I think she's also mad at me, too, because I got breast implants, and they look so good. And I said, really? Those are not real? They look so real. And she goes, yeah. She pulls a chop up, going, yeah, go ahead and touch them. I'm going, I cannot believe this is actually happening. So, you know, life is full of all these surprises. You're going, I'm looking for the cameras at that moment going, okay, I must be on television because I've seen this in movies, but I never thought it would actually happen to me. Next thing I know, it's happening. And you're going, and then she grabs my hands. Here, go ahead, squeeze them. They're good. They're real. And then, you know, thank you. You know, this was a great moment. And I'm sitting there going, this is why I love my job, because I never know what's going to happen, even to the anticipation of what is going to happen today. But also it was a realization for me today that when I'm actually being, you know, anticipating, I'm actually involved in my life. I'm getting to know people, I'm talking. Instead of sitting there hoping readings will come in the door, I noticed when I started interacting, even that kind of interaction, you start getting to the anticipation of what's going to happen afterwards because you're physically doing things. You're talking, you're getting to know people. It doesn't matter what kind of level it's on, but when you do that, you'll notice that you've already attracted those people, and you're going to attract some more. And then when you keep focus on that image or the visualization or the affirmation, and you keep doing the same thing by interacting, you get a good, positive outcome. So you look at your situation and go, okay, this would be nice. And look at a person who just, God, some people just take forever to really go and just throw themselves into a relationship, you know? I mean, I have a I'm not going to use the word hate. This person irritates me. How's that? When I sit here and make compliments to her, and she says, you don't have to do that. I say, why? Because it's getting to you? I say, I think I have the right to express myself. And when I express myself, it just happens to be compliments to you. Like the one time I was sitting there, and I said, it's dark in here. All of a sudden, she turns around. I was like, okay, thank you. Now there's light everywhere because of the beauty I just saw. And she's like, you don't need to say those things. Why? Why does it bother you? You know? Mm. And she doesn't say anything, but she does blushes. So I have a tendency to pay attention to everything people do because that means the body's reacting to something I just said. And usually blushing is a positive thing. Since you won't say it, it's still a confirmation. And that's what I tell people to do, you know? How does it resonate with your heart? When I'm with her, I could actually walk up to her and just kiss her because there's just such a connection. And that's why I know for a fact that when there's connections with people, they both feel it. Just because one refuses to acknowledge it doesn't make any less. It's still what it is. Of course, it makes the other person on the other side very frustrated because of what you do see. But I'm just saying when you look at the truth, it's a confirmation. So take it for what it is and let go of the anger, you know? Because eventually, if it's supposed to be what's going to be, it will be. Or look at people and their actions. I have one girl who used to look at me continuously as she left, as she's walking away. She was looking back at me, looking back at me, looking back at me. And I asked my friend about it, and I used to go to girls for advice on girls. I think it's just more logical that way. And she looked at me, and I told her what happened. She goes, oh, that girl really likes you. She just didn't know what to do with her feelings. Maybe she hasn't felt those feelings before. So she's looking at you. She's very drawn to you. She even comes to your shop. She might even like you to look at you. Doesn't mean she's a stalker. It's just a person not really having that realization to what's really going on, their feelings. Why are they drawn to it? If they would sit there and acknowledge it or just take some time to look at it, they would know what it is. But we have a tendency to beat ourselves up because it's not happening as fast as we want to, which I wish sometimes that time wouldn't have been. I wish we didn't have calendars and clocks. Then we'd have no perception of time, and we wouldn't be putting all that pressure on ourselves saying, it's supposed to happen now. We would understand everything happens in its own whatever, since there's no time. You can't use that phrase anymore either. Everything happens in its own time. You'll just sort of look at it going, it'll happen because of what I think it's like if there wasn't time, you would actually look at people's actions in a more positive way to realize you're getting an answer, you know? So that's what I got. And there's one girl I do like. And that was kind of a cool situation. But when this other girl came in my life, I was just like looking at her going, she is definitely not the kind of girl I would actually go out with. But there was other things in there too that I would. And so it wasn't until someone actually told me that, saying, you know, I understand. And I didn't say anything. It was just one of those things where they go, I understand she's not your type or the kind of girl you would normally go out with, but maybe you should open your mind more to this because the ones that you usually do has not worked out. So there's a pattern there for some reason. But you need to pay attention to it and say, okay, that didn't work. So maybe this would. I do get a kick out of people doing that, too, when you watch their actions. When you know that and you start seeing, oh, there's a confirmation. Ooh, there's a confirmation. And when I started seeing her look back at me all the time, and then later on she told me that I told her how I really felt and verbally said it, and she looked at me and says, well, unfortunately for you, I don't feel that way. Why does she say that way? Why say, unfortunately for you? Because it's a person who really cares about you, and they know that that moment when they say what they're going to say, it's going to hurt you, or maybe you're going to feel bad about it. So they're saying, unfortunately for you. At that time, at that moment, they're actually expressing how they really feel about you. And that's what I did, too, being psychic. I go, she told me she didn't feel the same way. But see, that could be interpreted in so many ways. It could be less. It could also be more. But the person doesn't want to acknowledge that. So they'll sit there and say, unfortunately, I don't feel the same way. But that's vague. It doesn't really tell you how much they do or how much they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you sit there and listen to your intuition and go, I know. That person just lied to me, basically, because they wasn't willing to express what was really going on. But I wouldn't have knew that if I wouldn't have been paying attention to the actions before. Where I know, I've seen those actions too. You know when girls are staring at you, or even guys, because you'll catch them looking at you. And when you catch them, they have a tendency to do one thing. They jerk their head going, what? You were looking at me. No, I wasn't. I had a crank on my neck. And then they don't look at you at all. Their eyes are everywhere. Which means they're lying. They don't realize, well, thank you. That was a heck of a story you just told me. Your mouth didn't tell me nothing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's kind of a crazy situation where, you know, and I tell people all the time, I know where you're coming from because I've done the same thing too, where you get so caught up in the situation, you don't allow yourself to see the truth. But you learn and you get better. And when I saw it, I saw the other day too, it was kind of funny. She's so fixated. This is what I tell people. If you have somebody who wants to ignore you, they won't even walk near you. If they want nothing to do with you, they will do everything they can not to even cross your path. Okay, so when a person does cross your path, there's something about them prompting them to go down there, a curiosity or something. And I saw her walk by, and her eyes are like a horse with blinders on, straight forward. Okay, this is a conscious choice to keep your eyes, because honestly, human beings cannot keep their eyes fixated on one thing at a time. Especially when they're outside, their eyes are everywhere. It's a fascination, especially when you live in a town like ours, where we're in the mountains, and right now we're going
where
too far. There's just so much, huh?
Where do you live?
Manitou Springs, Colorado.
Oh, Colorado! Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I was sitting there talking and going, you know, this is fantastic, and then I saw her, but you could also feel it. Myself,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a connection, and also a curiosity that I feel her energy too. So you can feel like it's a constant. It's an intentional avoidance. Okay, and then my guides go, okay, as she's walking down the street, you'll see that she's fixated, going straight forward, which she never does. She's all over the place, talking to friends and that kind of stuff. I know her actions. I know her. Don't ask me how I know her. Okay. There's just some things I know, and I kind of don't. We could go back to the psychic thing or whatever, but it was just something. There's just
Does
things
she know?
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I sit there, and so my guide said, okay, go up to the door of your shop and look at the door. So I did. As I looked at the door, guess what? I saw her looking back. And that's not the idea of noticing if she's looking at me or she saw me. It's the idea that she walks up. You watch her walk up, and she's walking forward, and she instinctively turns around. That is a person who's drawn to you. Who can't keep their fixation on it? I'm going. I got to keep my eyes straight. I got to keep doing this. I don't want to feel. I don't want to feed into what I feel. I don't want to feed into any kind of connection. But then at that one moment, she just looks back. I wonder if he actually saw me. Any kind of indication like that is definitely a person with something going on And with that kind of intentions, there's got to be some really intense feelings going on in that person. And then we had a fair this week, too, the last weekend. And I actually, I don't know if you've ever had a reading from a person who channels, but it's definitely different. Because they leave, and they channel somebody in. They channel a spirit in. And then they either, I don't know how you put it, they step to the side, and the spirit takes over. And that's the spirit is what gives you the reading. I think it's your spirit guide comes through.
Right.
And I got a reading with that one, too. And I was just like, some of the things the person said, say, hey, you know something? You guys have had a past life together that didn't end good. And it was almost like talking about you guys was an accident where you both were killed. I'm not really sure about the input and that kind of stuff, but there was something about the whole thing that was not good. So it's like you come into this life with those memories, but have like it's like you have those memories. You want to reconnect because you want to fix it this time. But at the same time, you have amnesia. So you have some. You have these promptings and feelings, but no substance behind it because you can't remember.
What happened?
Like,
right.
Well, I sit and talk to her, and she gave me a lot of insights, but she also said I had to let go of it and forget it. The quicker I let go of it and forget it, I'm going to look up one day, she's going to be standing there. Because you let go of that whole thing. Because actually, if you fixate too much on somebody, it's like having two, it's like two people with two phasers, and the phasers are hitting each other. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. Neither one of you guys can go anywhere. Because there's this energy between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
It could be fear. It could be whatever. But once you let that go and you turn the phasers off, which is your insecurity, because you feel like you got to fix on it. If you don't, it's going to go away. Once you take that away, there's nothing but space. And the person was already coming to you anyway. Once there's no obstructions, then they show up at your door and go, surprise. You know.
Luckily.
Well, luckily I ran into a friend of mine who was there too, and she gave me a reading for half price, and she gave me the other details of the accident because I was sort of telling her about what the person had said. She goes, "Hold on, I just got a visual. I know what happened." Okay, well, tell me. You know, It was a car accident in our past life, and we had a car accident where we were both killed. But what happened was she died first. But before she died, she blamed me for the accident. She blamed me for the accident because supposedly I was having an affair with a babysitter, and then she found out, so we were actually in the car arguing, and then it actually happens, which is interesting because I don't have the urge to go get a car, and she doesn't see the importance in a car. I thought that was kind of interesting, and she goes, cars are overrated, I don't need that kind of bullshit. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I said, I don't feel a prompting to go get a car either. And it's kind of funny. I've had that urgency before, but when I moved here, I don't have it anymore. So it's the ideal that I'm comfortable with walking and that kind of thing. And there was a town where we were supposed to go hiking together. And I think she was a little impressed because, see, I have a tendency to go to sleep or go to bed at 6 in the morning. And she wanted to go hiking at 7 in the morning. And I told her, I said, you know something? That's kind of funny because you can tell people's awkwardness, right? She comes to the shop. I had talked to her before, and I told my friend, I said, I liked the idea of how we had lunch the first time. No one asked each other out. We just showed up at the same place with the same objective, to have lunch. In the process of having lunch, we exchanged phone numbers and talked about going hiking. And then she showed up at my shop a couple of days later, and she was like taking her finger and kind of pecking on the wall, pecking on the doorway. And she kind of like, she's looking at the doorway going, I think Monday might work out. I said, work out? She goes, yeah, go hiking. So see, when the person said that you need to let her come forward and things will happen,
okay.
I got that visual when she had done that before. Like I threw it out there, gave her the information, and she came to me and said, I think Monday's going to work to go hiking. Okay, and I saw how she did it. It was awkward, but something in her, maybe we could say the prompting, the connection where she followed through with it. So it's happened before. So I was sitting there going, okay, we did go Well, that's what she sit here and said. I sit here and talk to her later on about, you never told me where we're going to go hiking. Now, I was thinking 7:30. She was thinking 7. Because she told me that. She goes, I'm thinking 7. I said, really, 7? And she goes, why, is it too early? I said, no, I was actually thinking 7:30. She goes, you're funny. you got to have fun, you know? And it was kind of crazy, but she didn't show up. She actually stood me up for that hiking. But it's like looking at a situation. I know this girl has a 16-month-old kid. It's probably a 17-month-old now. So you kind of like be a little considerate. But it was kind of hard because I sat there for an hour. Plus, I should have gone to bed at 6. But I still think she was impressed because I actually rearranged my schedule to make it happen. Because she knew my schedule. She knew how I worked. I worked all night.
Oh.
So I'm just saying, you know, sometimes if anybody's listening to this whole thing, I think we have a tendency to start talking about things not happening way before realistically it's even going that way. Maybe even illusion. Because I can sit there and go, okay, I feel like we're going to go hiking many, many times. Just sit there and dwell on one time we didn't. Sure, I was kind of angry, upset, and she came by and apologized. Sounds like a good excuse.
Okay.
I still conveyed how I felt about it, the idea of following through, you know. And also, it's one of those things where you feel like if we could have done that, it could have actually progressed a lot because either I was working or she was heading into town or she was doing something with her son, you know. It would have given us a time to actually have a time to talk. But with that said, it's the idea of taking that visualization to make a situation an opportunity to come up with that way you can do that. Good, throw it out there.
Well, let me ask you a question then.
Sure.
So, in regards to what is the energy?
What else?
Well, not what else, but, like, what's the energy that you do pick up in regards to my significant other is what I should say.
If I pick up the situation of focusing that kind of stuff, if I would sit there and put it in colors, I would sit there and see green and pink.
Green and pink. That's the heart
it's the way you look at it. Pink and green together is also the when people realistically want to attract a soulmate, they'll use a pink and green candle. Green means abundance and healing, and pink means true love. Red is more of a passion, lustful thing. Which if you had red in there too, it means it's a combination. It's a three-dimensional thing, so it is real. And I feel like when you sit and see that kind of energy with you, just with the greens and the pink, it means you feel like you really feel like you have something there. You could look at the orange and kind of curious about if my desires are actually going to become a reality to the full extent. But the green and the pink tell us all. Definitely a healing situation of a person's insecurities you need to let go of. But the more you sit here and look at it yourself and let go of your own, you can see the ideal closeness happening on a more intense level.
I
still feel like there's just too much holding back. You know that?
Come again?
I just feel like there's still too much holding back.
On both or his end?
On his side. It's almost like looking at a person going, how much does he really love you that he's not really facing or confronting? To have that kind of fear and not to express it. Disappointment. Mm-hmm. You know? Seriously, it's kind of a crazy thing with guys because I just did a reading for someone where the guy comes to her. They're like best friends, right? He comes to her and tells her how he feels about her, his true feelings. And as soon as she actually says she feels the same way, he runs. That's the most baffling case I've ever dealt with. He's the one that initiates the whole thing. So you feel like he's ready. He tells himself he's ready. And then she says, I love you too. What? Almost like you're not supposed to. He had been so fixated on her saying that she didn't. He never allowed himself to feel the truth of what was really going on between the two. That she should have knew this. This was just the next step. You know, express yourself. It's freaky. I wanted to talk to that guy and smack him. Why did you come to her and tell her how you feel? If he was
right.
going to just turn run, don't you realize how much you just hurt this person? Because she was thinking the same thing. Does he feel the same way I do? And then you come to her and tell her you do. As soon as she acknowledges it, reciprocates it to you, you put the Nikes on and run like hell. You think that's fair? It's not fair to either one of you.
Nah, that's not cool.
You don't think I hit this guy the nut?
The reason why you brought it up, do you feel that's the situation with my significant other?
Yes, I do. I just feel like the difference is you guys are actually associating with each other. But there still seems to be that barrier that he needs to put down. I mean, because you take a look at the situation, there shouldn't be no barriers. I feel like there's a really strong accountability between the two of you. So the idea of someone hanging on to the situation takes you back to a person who's been hurt in the past, and he scares if he actually expresses himself to the fullest, it'll happen again. He doesn't realize this is the ideal. He thinks love was the problem. He doesn't realize he's taken the blame away from where it needs to be at on the other person and take it off love. Love never hurt no one. People, different story.
Yes. Love doesn't hurt anyone. You're right.
Or people say, love let you down. Only way love could let you down, if you had a big old block that says love on it and you got off of it, then it let you down or you fell off of it. But love itself, the true is, I mean, love is energy. And here people are giving it personality. Love only has a personality. Okay, love gets a personality, but it's only one you guys created between the two of you. It's yours. Like I saw this before. Love is you. Love is him. And the process of getting to know each other, that's what I'm saying. You guys know each other really well. That's why you feel so comfortable, because somewhere in the line, you're both allowed to be yourselves. But when I focus on him, he's not letting his complete self come out. True love. I would sit here and say a person doesn't feel like he's worthy because of where he came from. He doesn't realize he is worthy because he's attracted it, you.
Yeah, he attracted me, and I feel like somebody else is trying to be in the mix, too.
I'm just saying, in the process, if he's not worthy, genuinely not worthy, he would have attracted you. But he has attracted you. So the fact is, he is worthy, he is love, and what you both have always wanted is in what you have between the two of you. You can't look at it either way. It's a fact.
Yes. And I say that, and I've shared something I've never told a man first. You know, I told him that I loved him. And that goes against my grain, but I was like, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. Come again?
Yeah, that's what I do with the girl I was talking about, too.
I'm sorry?
Telling her, the girl I was talking to you about before, the one I've been talking about the most, I was sitting there, she came to my door, and we crossed paths, and I said, you know something? She goes, how you doing? And I said, you know, I'm going through a lot of things right now where I really don't want to talk about that. And she goes, well, that's good. You know your boundaries. Yeah, but I said, the thing is, when you stood me up for hiking, I just realized how much I really look forward to spending time with you. You know, it's like one of those things, how much I value the time we do spend together. And it was a realization that I actually feel more for you than just friends. And I was sitting there going, I wasn't going to say that. It just happened, you know. She looked at me and she goes, really? I said, yeah. She said, you're talking about me. I said, no, I'm talking about the girl behind you. Of course I'm talking about you. Why would I tell anybody else? I would be telling somebody else. I'm telling you. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, there you go. You say you like people being straightforward and honest? That's about as straightforward and as honest as you can get. She goes, what did I do to make that happen? I said, just being yourself. I said, it's like certain things you're doing right now and the idea of tapping into your own strength, really tapping into who you are. And that's very attractive. And the idea of looking at somebody going, you know something, for some reason I love you. I can't tell you that, but I know I do. And I don't understand why. I just do. And the idea of realizing I don't need a reason to know why, because maybe because it's there, it's already acknowledged because of who we are. We acknowledge who
right.
we are. We don't have to tell each other that because we both know it. So therefore, it also
right.
clarifies one thing, too. Doesn't it clarify one thing, that if that's such a realism, then that actually what I do know does exist. Just because she wants to sit there and say, I don't feel the same way, she never really, there's no really clarification when she says that. It just says, I don't feel the same way. I said, okay, what's that mean? You feel more? You feel less? I told her, I said, I understand you just came out of a bad relationship, and you're still, you know, you want to stay on your own 2 feet, you want to find your own strengths. I understand that point of view. I'm just being honest with you about how we really feel. And I said, but I still see you as a friend, but I've told you how I really feel. Okay, so therefore, do me one favor, don't disappear. It is, like, but there's been other times, too, where I got some readings, and they were talking about the Justice card. It's very significant between the two of you. The figure eight is very, very, very significant between the two of you. And when I sit here and talk to her about that and said, do you believe in signs? And she kind of looked at me like, huh? Like, she wants to hear me first. What do I believe a sign is? Mm-hmm. Which I felt like at that moment when she thought that, too, there have been things that she's seen, too, which she had actually told me a couple times, I was thinking about you this morning. But she never really elaborated on it because I think she felt uncomfortable with it, which means it was a little more intense than she was willing to admit. But she did acknowledge it, that she did think about me. So that was interesting. And it also gives you an idea that something's happening where she's saying things verbally that she would never said before. So I sit here and talked about the whole thing. I said, well, someone told me that the Justice card and the figure eight is very significant between us as a sign that there's something here, something we should actually pursue as a relationship. And she just kind of looked at me like, really, what do you mean? I said, well, the Justice card is also the figure eight. That's the eighth card, is justice. And I said, you came to the shop one day where we were actually trying to open another shop. And she brought her son with her. His name is Justice. And he was
wow.
wearing a shirt with a eight on it. He was wearing a shirt with an eight on it. Okay? She's also, she's 26. 26, is it, if you knock it down to a single digit, it's eight. I was also born the 26th. That's another eight. Then I sat here and told her about those